Welcome to Nintendo Dads, episode 150, recorded on October 11th, 2017. On tonight's episode, we discuss the recent Nintendo World Championships, favorite moments over the last 150 episodes, and we've got Roger from Roger's Base here to talk about a Mario event that he got to go to this week, and so much more. Zach, cue the music.
Everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Dads Podcast. My name is Zach Erickson, and tonight is October 11th, 2017. Joining me tonight from across the pond in his pot of gold, Justin Masson. What's going on, Justin?
Top of the morning to you there, Zachary.
Speaking of stereotypes, joining us as well, Jesse Waldeck from VGTribune.com. What's going on, Jesse?
Greetings.
Right on. And speaking of briefs, I don't know, efficient, from the land of the south, Marty Estes. What's going on, Marty?
Boxers, solely, Zach. Yeah. Boxers.
You know, I thought you were more about support. I don't.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. We could get into that whole debate right now, but I don't know.
Let's not, for the sake of our listeners. It's good to be back.
Yeah, well, there. Look for the Twitter poll coming. Anyways, that is the new. That is the next
Splatfest.
The next Splatfest. Yeah, next Splatfest. Boxers versus briefs. Make it happen. Joining us as well for our special 150th episode, Roger DiLuigi himself, Roger's Base. What's going on, Roger?
I'm feeling pretty good. I'm excited for more of those dad jokes and some boxer discussion. I gotta say though, you guys are wrong, objectively. Boxers are not better and briefs are not better. The best thing is boxer briefs.
Oh, I thought you were going to say banana hammock.
Yeah. Man thong. Man thong?
Boxer briefs. Man
thong. Yeah. I'm going to be honest, not where I thought he was going with that.
Yeah. It's kind of let down, actually. Not going to lie. That's all right. Well, you're right. You know what? A little column A, a little column B, right? We'll go there. That's how we start episode 150 of Nintendo Dads, all about our choice in underwear. So there we go. Let it be known, we are not above toilet humor in this show. Yeah, you're coming in a little quiet, by the way, Roger. I don't know if that's
me.
A little bit. That's all right though.
All right, hold on. I'll turn this up.
Okay.
Better.
Cool. Yeah, there. You're good. All right. We're gonna head into the news. We got tons to talk about. So let's get straight into it, shall we, gentlemen?
Do it.
Let's do it.
And the news is brought to us by Patreon.com.
Patreon.
Sorry. Patreon.
I thought you were doing that, and you thought I was doing that.
That's
who
all
knows?
Right. Hey, you know what? It's 150 episodes. Why not screw it up every chance we get? For both of us.
Wouldn't be a Nintendo Dads episode if we didn't.
Exactly. So, Patreon.com/Nintendo Dads. Marty, what's going on in Patreon land?
Well, nowadays? Zach, lots is going on in Patreon land. Number one, you need to be playing Metroid Prime for Retro Rewind for October. You guys won,
yep.
You know, and so you need to be playing Metroid Prime. What? Either
why did you say that
GameCube, like I am going to do, because a listener of the show sent me a GameCube this week, and what? That's amazing.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Holy
yeah.
Crap,
well, okay. Full disclosure. A listener, a fan and a listener of this show sent me a GameCube this week because I helped him get an SNES Classic.
Ah, there you go. Okay. But still.
So.
That's fair.
But he sent, so not only did he send me a GameCube, he sent me a copy of Resident Evil 4 for GameCube, which
what?
I have never played.
Oh, man. I've never played that either, actually. In fact.
And also, you know, some sauces are not equal to others. And while the rest of you people out there in internet land were freaking out about Szechuan sauce, I will say this. There's only one sauce that has my heart, and it's honey roasted barbecue sauce from Chick-fil-A. Mm-hmm. The best sauce.
It's actually a very good choice.
And he sent me a package of honey roasted barbecue sauce as well.
What
and
the crap? Why are they sending you all of these things?
Right by a YouTube space in LA, and I always stop there and go eat lunch whenever I'm in the area. Because that's like, I think the only one that's really near me beyond one that's in Hollywood that's always crazy busy, but there's no place to sit at that one. So
right.
That's right. The best. We really have the best fans, don't we?
We totally do. We do. And also this week, what's going on over in Patreon land is we have a new patron, Brian Nesbitt. Thank you so much for making the dream work and helping us get out all this Nintendo Dads content to folks. And also, we're recording Retro Rewind tonight. So Castlevania 3 episode will be in your ear holes post haste.
Yes. I like the vagueness that you have with that. I appreciate that.
It should be there when it's there.
Sunday. Be grateful that you get it at all. No, just kidding.
It's going to be fantastic.
Anyways, so let's get into the big story. And by the way, I just want to say this again. Our move to Discord, I think it has been one of the best things we've ever done. As far as moving, you know, as far like the shift from the line chat to Discord, it is so much more enjoyable and easier to follow and more engaging.
Yes.
It's just great. Let's
mention here too, that if you're a listener and a patron and you are not part, you're supposed to be in that chat and you're not part of it, let us know.
Yeah.
And we will make sure that that gets taken care of because we want you in there. We want you in there, but that's exclusive. If you want to get in the Discord with the Nintendo Dads, you got to be a patron.
Yeah.
So, come on, guys.
Absolutely. We had over before we moved over to the line show, we had over 30 people in that conversation thread. So it's a great group and a great community on Discord as well. So it's fantastic.
Yeah, right on. Very cool. So having said all of that, guys, this is episode 150, right?
Oh, dear Lord.
Wow. So
what are we doing with our life?
I don't know. You know, I think about who wants to do math? So let's say an average of two.
No.
Let's say,
and that's my cue to leave. Great.
1.75.
Exactly. I'm going to sleep now. Good night.
So let's just say this. So let's just say that an average of 1 hour, 45 minutes per episode. And that's the only reason I say that is because it's
we go long all the time.
We go long all the time. But also, like, on average lately, it's 2 hours. But early on, it was shorter than that. So we'll say like that by 150 episodes. That doesn't count Retro Rewind or After Dark or all that other
just
stuff.
The core show, this thing.
Just the core show. That is 262 hours, which is 11 full days. So,
there you go.
So if you were to go back and listen just to the first one, like, then there you go. So there you go. That is the fruit of our labors.
Clear your schedule.
Yeah, clear your schedule. There you go.
At 200, you guys are going to do a full like marathon, right? Where you actually sit down and listen to every episode in order.
Yeah.
Funny part is we've received response from people who's like, oh, I've started listening to some of your older stuff. And I was like, oh, dear God. Like, what have we done? Why would you do that to yourself?
Every once in a while, I will go back and listen to like our predictions episodes and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, you know what? That wasn't too bad. Like, it was totally off base, but, you know, eventually that kind of happened. Like, I went back and listened to them, and I'm like, oh, well, Nintendo's going to start making smaller amiibo so that they can charge less for them. Like, what? What? Like, why they're having a hard time making that.
And they actually did the opposite of that.
Yeah,
Guardian for $20.
Bigger ones that are more intricate, like the Metroid one. And
yeah. Yeah, exactly. And like, oh, they're just going to shift primarily to cards. I was like, no, mm-hmm. That's not, no.
I'm still
production will ramp up. Come on, another card. Myth.
Sir, what was that, Roger?
We should have gotten that.
For which, sorry? Cards?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that would be like amiibo cards for Pokemon. Oh, yeah, that's crazy.
When it comes out on Switch, that's coming.
See, all right, now the people who are going back and listening to this one. Mm-hmm. Put a little.
I'm calling it out, and I will stand and I will eat crow if I'm wrong. But it's coming when Pokemon Switch comes out.
Yeah,
you start getting that barbecue sauce ready for that crow you're going to be eating.
Okay, that's fine because it's either going to be cards or real amiibo. They're going to do a Pokemon line.
You know what? I wonder. The reason that I think that we're already off the rails, which is fine, but the reason that I think that might not be the case is because there's already such a significant branding behind the trading card game specifically that I almost wonder if like I think that there is potential for some cross-pollination there, but the TCG, the Pokemon TCG, is so much of its own monster that I almost wonder if Nintendo or if the Pokemon company specifically is like, you know what? I don't know if we want to get into that. Like it may make things too complicated and too like,
that's probably a good point.
You know what I mean? Like it's very, very messy to all of a sudden.
Yeah, you don't want to be muddying up the brand.
Yeah, like
maybe get around that is like, you know how we always had holographic cards in the packs? Mm-hmm. Maybe what they'll do is like part of the next set instead of like holographic, or maybe they just make the holographic ones amiibo cards, but basically like the rarest cards in each of the new TCG sets, like the top 15 or whatever, would actually double as amiibo.
Oh, that'd be man. Smart. That would, you know what?
That wouldn't really split the market.
That would piss off so many people if they limited it to like the ultra rare ones. Oh yeah, yeah, no way. Like that would be a nightmare. That would be insane because those cards like can go for, you know, 50, 100 bucks a pop, right? Oh, and so to have the entire amiibo set be like they'd have to make it
And separate. That's just the card collectors and the regular gamers wanting them. Add the amiibo collectors in the mix and whoa.
It'd be a nightmare. Yeah, no. So anyway, good speculation. I like it. We're going to hold you to it, Marty.
It's fine. Card line or amiibo line. Yeah. Either one.
Yeah.
I'm betting on you, Marty. I agree.
It's coming.
Get that barbecue sauce ready. Yeah. And for those of you that don't know, one of the reasons that Roger is joining us tonight, other than just being an awesome guy, is that Roger, when we started Nintendo Dads, was our very first guest that we ever had on. So I thought it was very, very timely to have him back for our 150th episode, as this is our final episode as well, and we're never coming back.
Yeah. So I'm just kidding.
Just kidding.
Everybody on the chat's gonna be like, "What? They're never coming back."
No. Just give me a hard time. Yeah. So Roger was one of our very first guests, so we thought it'd be a timely time for him to come back.
I'm happy to be back.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, as you guys kind of think about this, and I know we're doing a little navel gazing, and we'll get onto the news shortly, but hey, you know, it is what it is. I don't know, Justin, Jesse, Marty, like, what are some of your favorite sort of moments of Nintendo Dads and sort of the, you know, like any favorite moments that kind of stick out to you guys, or like looking back now, what is this? I don't know. What is this? This seems like really, I don't know, a weird question, but what is Nintendo Dads to you, Justin?
Yeah, thanks. 4 a.m. here. Let's answer the real hard questions. All right.
Yeah. Well, what do you?
You know, I think originally when we did Nintendo Dads, we start off, it was just a place to chat about video games with other people who liked it, and luckily enough, found a community of the three of us to have that conversation, kind of geek out every once in a while, and it was really great, right? Have those conversations with other friends that you weren't able to. And I think that was kind of the original outlet or connection point of it, and talk about parenting. And I think what we have seen it spun out to in the last several years of being a large community of people across the world who have this common theme, this common question, this common passion. I think that's what probably is my favorite moment, is that growth to that, right? To be able to see people who are just so engaged with not only just the content that we create, but just being dads, just having the same experiences that we are, and being passionate about Nintendo or video games or whatever that is, and allowing a platform for people to connect in that way. And I think that's probably the most powerful component, right? We talked about the Discord chat, we talked about the Line chat before, but I mean, these people who are coming together and saying, I want to be part of this community. I want to have this conversation. I want to support people who are going through really tough times, right? I want to support you through celebrations. I want to share those things with you. I want to discuss how do you help get your kids down to sleep? What games do you like to share together? I think that's really cool. And I think that community and this has afforded us the opportunity to connect with people in real life to see those experiences. You know, I was just over in Birmingham recently. I got to meet up with Gary Gray. I got to meet up with Paul Lloyd. You know, I got to meet up with other fans who enjoy our show. And we hear that connection. We hear that content. I think that's the thing that went from just, you know, being in a basement kind of rattling about video games that we're kind of geeky about to being a genuine community that people are excited about and engaged with. And I think that to me, I think we hoped it would get there, and you never really know if it would get there or if that's the outcome of it. But there is this this very positive event that occurred from it that I'm very proud of that. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, if any of us leave the show, or that thing will still continue, right? That is not reliant on either any of the four of us, but it's just people who are just people, and we've created an area for them together. So
yeah.
That was really deep and cerebral at 4 a.m. for
me. As you're saying that, I'm reminded.
Episode, there you go.
Yeah. I'm reminded of that moment in Spider-Man 2, and go with me on this. But Spider-Man 2, at the end of that movie where he's created like that little mini sun in the shed, you know what I'm talking about? And they unplug it, and it's still alive. It's still going. It's like, oh, no, now what do we do? It's self-sustaining, right? And that's, I feel like we've kind of reached that point where if any one of us has Dr. Octopus is going to have to get underneath the dock and pull and like drown the thing in order for this to go away at this point, right? So I don't know why that was the metaphor that came to me when I thought that, or when I was hearing you say that, but yeah. So there's a visual for you. But yeah, I totally agree. It was always just something that we wanted to do for fun and stuff like that, but it's really become something a whole lot more. So yeah, right on. Jesse, any other thoughts on that? Or like, what about you, Jesse? Jesse, you've been here as long as we have. Like, how do you?
Yeah, I think the most interesting part of this whole experience over the last 3 years is, we talk to each other every week, and we talk about our kids every week. So, in a way, it's kids on TV, and you watch them grow up throughout the course of the show. So this is kind of the similar thing here. We're just watching everyone's kids kind of grow through the stories of the three and four of us. They're all growing up as part of the show. You know, like when we started, I had one in middle school still. The oldest one was a junior in high school. Now she's in college, and then you, Zach, had minus one head count 3 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and not only that, but like I'm just thinking too about like when we started this show, I was working at like a vocational services agency. I was a team leader there, just kind of, just working or whatever, but thinking, oh, maybe I'll go back to school and try to be a psychologist. And now I'm a registered provisional psychologist in Alberta, and like,
living in a different city,
totally different city. And, I'm an actual, I basically have changed my sort of career entirely since then. Like a lot has happened over the course of 3 years. It's crazy. So, you're totally, and the kids too, right? Like that's crazy. To me, it's almost funny, Jesse, as you say that, I'm like, oh yeah, but you just got like some teenage kids, right? Like no big deal. But it's like, oh wait, no, they're like in college now. Like that's crazy.
The actual people.
Right. So yeah. Anyway, what about you, Marty?
I'll be the first one to be a grandfather at some point, I'm sure.
Yeah, I hope so.
That's our next Nintendo Dad spinoff show.
mean hope it's me or in hope it's soon, because I'm hoping it's me, but hoping it's not so soon.
If it's okay, if it's me or Justin, then we're all in a lot of trouble. So, what about you, Marty? You're the sort of the newcomer. What do you know? What episode you started? Do you remember that? Do you remember?
No, I know it was in like November of last year, I believe. Mm-hmm.
November or December of last year.
I'm sure somebody knows at some point, but joining the show has kind of been a surreal experience. I mean, I found you guys because of Mikey Burgett on Reactor Radio, and he's like, you need to listen to Nintendo Dads. You'd really like them. And so I started listening and became a fan of the show, became a patron of the show, became a guest on the show. And then, it was weird because I approached you guys with an idea about something, and the idea that you guys turned around and approached me with was, why don't you just join the show?
and he's been trying to get away ever since.
I was like, well, I guess we can do that. And then to watch people actually be excited that I was joining a show was, again, it was one of the most surreal experiences of my life. And the fact that people would say we value your opinion on something that you're a fan of. And I have to echo Justin's statements about the community. This I have never, I've always envied people who had an online community, you know, where they fit in or where people knew their name and it wasn't just a username, but they knew them and they knew things about their lives. And in the entire time that I've been a internet user or going to forums or groups or message boards or whatever, I've never had that, but here I do. Mm-hmm. And that makes, to me, it makes all the difference. And so, you know, like when I say things like, you know, you really need to get on and be a patron because you want to get in the Discord chat or whatever, you really want to get in there because, like, somebody asked the other day, you know, how I actually ended up on the show and how I knew you guys. And I was like, I don't, you know, I don't, I've never met you. But I feel like I know you and I feel like, you know, I know you would be welcome at my house. I feel like I would be welcome at your house. And I feel like we can meet and hang out and have a great time. I feel like our families could probably get together and have a good time.
And Justin's actually been to my house.
They have. Right. Yeah.
I was almost there if I could have made it, but, you know, it's just, I think that's what, that's the bread and butter of this is, yeah, it's great to talk about Nintendo. I love Nintendo. I've always been a Nintendo fan, huge Nintendo fan. They've been my primary video game company, but the community is even better. And I would take the community over the Nintendo talk any day. And so I'm just like, it blows me away every week that people will like say, I agree with what you say, or I was listening and Marty said this, and it's all surreal to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Like for us, it's like, yeah, we just been talking about video games and big deal. Right. Like,
yeah,
like it's a whole bunch of nothing, but
but obviously there's something in there that people connect with. Right. Yeah. And I mean,
I'm not a father, but I all the time. And I find all of those talks interesting. Like normally my experience with the show outside of course, being a guest sometimes has been like, you guys are my favorite easy listening podcast. Like when I'm doing work or I'm doing like a stream or I'm like, you know, working and playing a game and I'm not really interacting with people, I love listening to you guys because of exactly what you're talking about, like the family aspect of the show where it feels a lot more personal than something. And of course, like Jesse, we've met in person. It's not like it's, you know, like I know you guys in person, but I also know you from your internet person.
Yeah, I remember
family.
One of the times that we had Josh on, I told him that we were at the same E3 together six years ago, and he goes, "Really?" He had no idea that we'd actually met before.
Yeah, I'm sure he didn't even know like the VG Tribune connection or everything. Yeah. But like VG Tribune was literally my connection to everything. I mean, that's the thing that like propelled me into, you know, doing work with Nintendo, and then eventually, you know, moving out to LA and doing work with Disney Interactive, and then becoming a YouTuber. I mean, so much of that is grounded in VG Tribune, and whether or not that's like because the community that surrounds VG Tribune is like welcoming, or whether it's just like listening to you guys while I'm playing a game, I think you found something with this niche of like being dads that play Nintendo.
Yeah.
That's just fun to listen to. It's just like genuinely fun to listen to, and it's enjoyable. And it's, like I said, it's easy listening. Right now we're in a world where there's so much craziness going on that sometimes it's nice to just kick back and relax and like hear about what your kids did and what they thought about the Super Nintendo Classic or whatever. It's really nice. And it, again, I'm saying this as somebody who is like just been guesting on the show and has been like a listener too and a fan too on top of being on it with you. So, I mean, that's what Nintendo Dads has always been. It's been this fun, like easy listening. And I also think like family friendly community too. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's something that's kind of important is there's a lot of people out there right now who are gamers or gaming content creators that don't really provide people with that. And when they do provide people with that, sometimes it doesn't feel natural. Yeah. Like I'm not going to call out any names I don't want to like start YouTube drama on this episode, but like there's a lot of YouTubers who are like, I create family friendly content. And you could tell that they're like faking it for the camera, if that makes any sense. Whereas it's just like wholesome dads making jokes about boxer briefs and talking about Nintendo. And it's like genuinely, it's nice to listen to.
Yeah.
And so I listening. I love being a part of it. And it's always fun whenever I'm on. And one thing I was also going to mention, because you mentioned it earlier, Zach, which is like your favorite moment of the show. Mm-hmm. There's one thing in particular that stands out to me and will always stand out as my favorite moment of the show. And that is when me and Josh were both on the same episode.
Oh, jeez.
And we were talking about the rankings. You guys had the Wii U rankings.
Yeah.
We were going through, you know, like, oh, what game should we eliminate from the list? And then I forgot who was on previously, but they had put Star Fox Zero really high on the list, and I used that as my elimination ticket to get rid of the game entirely. And I thought, I will always remember that, just like laughing out loud and seeing the chat's reaction and listening to it the next day and seeing the reaction on Twitter of people being like, wow, he really hates Star Fox.
You know what's funny about that, though, Roger? I'll admit this now, too, is that moment for me was like, wait, maybe I'm in denial. Maybe this game really isn't as good as I hope it is.
Yeah, actually, it's garbage. Yeah.
That reminds me that, like, my very first episode as a permanent cast member of this show, I did irreparable damage to Justin.
That's right, you did,
by taking Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze off the Wii U list permanently.
Yeah, you removed Donkey Kong Country. I remember that. That was like we brought you on, and like the first day, it was like a bloodied up nose across the bow. I was like, you.
Yeah. Amazing. So yeah, so that's, well, I appreciate that, Roger.
Thank you.
Kind words. Yeah. It's awesome. So, all right, gentlemen, that's enough navel gazing for today. Enough patting ourselves on the back.
I think we've now, Zach, we've actually got people who responded with what their favorite moments were.
Oh,
did you want to do those now?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Let's just do that now.
Let's pop over to the Twitter device here. Let's see. Good friend of the show, Adam Leonard, says his favorite moment from the last 150 episodes is that one time Jesse talked about an RPG.
Only one, huh?
I thought he was going to say that when the Mega Dads guested and we got emails about how it was a little bit questionable on our content and we pushed some boundaries there.
That time we almost had to put an explicit rating on a podcast episode because we had the Mega Dads appear. Yeah, that was a favorite moment.
Let's see. Delta Dawn, I'd like a 150-second tribute to just Wobble Puffet looped.
Here you go.
Wobble Puffet? Wobble Buffet?
There you go.
If anyone wants to make a remix of that, email Nintendo Dads. We'll send you the audio file, and you can remix whatever you want for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, let's see. Colin Harris, the time that Justin taught us all how to make tea while podcasting.
Oh yes. Uh-huh.
Brian Welch says, bring back the Uncle Jesse segments.
Nice. Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Robert House, seconds. The 50-second tribute to Wobble Puppet. That tweet got a lot of likes, Justin.
Yeah, I know, right?
Chris White, at Neo Lego, I'd love to see a montage of all the awkward moments when Zach forgot a guest name.
Forgot a guest name or a developer's name, might I add.
Love the show, guys. I'll be tuning in tonight.
Oh my gosh, dude. That's so funny. Whereas it's like, I don't have it written down. Hang on. It's in one of these tabs. I'm going to find it. Like, this is, I got to find my tab and it's written down and I'm going to keep. Yep. Okay. Yes. Okay. That's your name.
Ryan Craig here says, my favorite moment is when I discovered the podcast existed. Mm. Aww.
That's very cool. Kind. That's so good.
And Phoenix Moore, Wobble Puffet.
Yeah.
Wobble Puffet? Wobble Buffet?
Guys, I don't know that we can do that. Yeah, outdo that.
Yeah, you know what? No. You know what they say about the Nintendo Dads podcast?
It's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you are going to get.
Love it.
This is like a sad thing, but I was going to say, since you guys started, Iwata's passed away.
Yeah. Actually, you know what?
Iwata was still president of Nintendo. He was sick, but he was still here.
Yeah.
And it does seem like, I know that was only 2 years ago, but I remember listening to the podcast after that happened.
Yeah.
And literally, it's weird. It's one of those moments that, like, I remember where I was when I found out that Iwata passed away. Yeah. I was at a party in Glendale with two of my other buddies, and we were playing table tennis. Mm. And I got a notification on my phone from my cousin Sarah, who was like, oh my God, did you hear about Iwata? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I sat down and I looked, and you guys had already tweeted out. I forgot. Mm. Tweeted out, but you guys had already tweeted out, like, our condolences to Iwata. And I was like, wait, how did I miss this? Like, what happened? Yeah. And then just catching up on it and sort of like realizing, oh my God, that's why he wasn't at E3 this year.
Yeah.
No, that's why I didn't see him. Like, so many times, I think even Jesse, when we went to E3 together, he was like walking around the media booth. He was there.
He was there.
At the convention. And yeah. I mean, it's kind of a sad thing to think about that he's gone now.
Yeah, I mean that's interesting. Like some of these things. Like, I mean, as I recall, even that was a tough episode. I think for I think Marty, you weren't with us at that point yet, but I remember that was a tough episode for the three of us to have that conversation.
Yeah,
it was quite raw. And I mean, you know, we didn't know the man personally, obviously, but there was a lot of connections with that. And I mean, I remember that spun out a little bit of a conversation about passing, right, and how you deal with someone as a parenting perspective as well. And that's a great point. Like a lot of things over 3 years have occurred that did not exist, right? The Wii U was,
think about
the Switch wasn't announced. The classic lines weren't
Smash
there.
Smash Brothers Wii U was not out yet. Think about that.
Right, think about how much Nintendo as a company has changed in 3 years. Even it's standing in the world.
Yeah.
You know, in the world of video games from, that's Nintendo to holy crap, Nintendo is.
Yeah.
Killing it. And I think that's my favorite part of the past 3 years is just watching people return to the company that started it all. I don't care if I know other companies started video games, but nobody did it like Nintendo back in the 80s to make it what it is today. And so the cool part is I get to sit here every week and talk about that. Something I'm extremely passionate about, something I love, with people who feel the same way. And that's such a cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, while we were on the topic of Iwata real quick, I did put, I don't know if the rest of you noticed it or not, but I put a reminder in the calendar for next July 11th to see if we can play golf.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah.
Nice. I'm glad you put that in there because I'd forget.
Yeah. I'd remember on July 11th, or sorry, July 12th is when I'd remember. Now, speaking of Nintendo killing games and making, you know, waves, Roger, you're here. You were somewhere else recently hanging out doing some Mario. You want to talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's why I'm well, obviously, if you're listening to it podcast-wise, you're not going to see what I'm wearing. But if you tuned in live on YouTube where they do the streams, which you absolutely should because there's a live chat, you would see I'm wearing a official Cappy hat that they handed out at a Mario Odyssey demo event that happened yesterday.
The first post in the chat was, Roger was captured.
Oh, well, very funny, Deontay Hancock.
He needs a mustache, though. He needs a mustache.
I need a mustache. If my dad was here. My dad was here. He has a mustache. But
nice.
Maybe he'll join you guys one day. That would be a 200th episode. I'll get my dad to come on, and he'll join you guys.
There you go.
Go talk. But,
did I lose just him?
Oh, I think we lost Roger. There he is.
No, I'm here.
All right.
We had a pause.
He froze for like 3 seconds.
Oh, okay. No, I got to try the new Seaside Kingdom in Mario Odyssey, and we were able to record footage, but the embargo was super tight on this. There's a lot of stuff that we saw that we couldn't show, story-related stuff that we weren't able to talk about. And what's weird is apparently some people in Europe already have their review copies of the game. But this demo event that I was at yesterday kicks off a whole Mario Odyssey preview tour that's happening around the country. And yet next Wednesday, I'm going to another demo event to play Mario Odyssey again. So I'm curious. I mean, there's obviously a lot to the game. And based on what I've played at both E3 and then now at this demo event, I could tell they're putting everything behind it. I mean, I think to Nintendo, they are seeing this as sort of like the resurgence of Mario. I think the last time I've been this excited about a Mario game, and I feel like same goes for a lot of other friends of mine, was New Super Mario Brothers on Wii. Because at that point, we already had the Mario Galaxy games. We knew that was coming. We already had the announcement of Galaxy 2. But the idea of a new side-scrolling Mario on a home console was unique at the time, which is funny considering now there's all this thinking about, you know, New Super Mario Brothers. But at the time, for Wii, it was really cool. It was like, wow, a four-player Mario game. This is very different. You know, the Wii was a huge success. And not really since New Super Mario Brothers on Wii have I been genuinely excited about a Mario game on a home console. And I know both Josh and I get a lot of hate for this, for saying we're not huge fans of 3D World on Wii U and the Wii U version of New Super Mario Brothers. And while I love 3D World's soundtrack, I feel like the game did not have the right It didn't capture, no pun intended, the same feeling that like a Mario 64, a Mario Sunshine, and even a new Super Mario Brothers Wii and a Mario Galaxy had, mm-hmm. which is that this is an exciting new type of game, right? When 3D World came out for Wii U, it was like, okay, this is building upon what was on the DS. To me and to a lot of other people, it seemed like this is just like a console version of something I've already played on a handheld, despite HD graphics and the music. And then with New Super Mario Brothers on Wii U, it was sort of the same thing. It was like, well, I already played New Super Mario Brothers on Wii, and this doesn't seem very different, despite Nabbit and, you know, the New Super Luigi mode or whatever. It still didn't feel different enough. And I'm going somewhere here with this, that I'm trying to like loop everything again, which is that Mario Odyssey to me feels like it's finally going somewhere new. It's taking it in the direction where it's referencing 64 and, you know, Galaxy and Sunshine in terms of these big 3D environments, but it genuinely feels refreshing and exciting. And as somebody who is not the biggest fan of Mario in the world, I'm not even a huge Mario Kart fan. If I had to label my favorite Nintendo franchises, it would be Metroid, Animal Crossing, and Pokemon, and Mario wouldn't even be close.
Where's Donkey Kong?
Donkey Kong's like probably sixth. It's not top five, but it's probably like
he's sixth. Completely off the list.
I will cut you, Marty Estes. I will cut you.
But any questions you guys have about Odyssey, let me know.
And that's one thing I would say as well, Roger, because I had an opportunity to play it over at EGX here in Birmingham a couple weeks ago. And I came off it immediately and recorded my live reaction, which guys can check out on our YouTube channel. It's less than 5 minutes. But it has that it has captured that thing. It has captured that Mario 64. Like it's almost like I came off, I don't want to say like I was high, but it was like you had that like, oh my gosh, this is it. Yeah. This is the thing they've been chasing. And I think you felt that probably a little bit with Galaxy. Mm-hmm. The first time you ran around with Galaxy and started to understand that world, you're like, yes, there's something special here. Right. Which I would kind of agree. I think the Wii U's 3D world felt a little bit absent of that special sauce, right? Whatever that heart of those games are. Yeah. It was absent of Szechuan sauce. That's exactly why it didn't work. but Odyssey does that thing, right? And so I would 100% agree with you. Now, one of the things that I was going to ask you about, because you've been to several of these events, you've got hands on several times, right? When I was at EGX, they had two levels. They had the sand level, and then they had New Donk City. And I played the sand level, and I said to myself consciously, I don't want to go back and play another level. Because I don't want it to be ruined for me. I want these things to be new, right? Because it's very rare that we get these type of games that feel genuine and feel new. How are you, and this is a little bit, I guess, inside baseball or behind the curtains or whatever. How do you deal with that as a YouTuber who's demoing so much, but also just as a fan of someone who's just like, I want this to be fresh for me? Because I'm sure that they're saying like, here, play this level, play this level, play this level. But it's ultimately starting to ruin some of that, like, it's kind of like, here's Christmas. I'm going to unbox you the present. I'm going to build the present, and I'm going to box it back up. Like, how do you cope with that?
That's a good question. I mean, for me, I'm the kind of person of like, there's a new Star Wars trailer. I'm going to watch the trailer. I don't really care about spoilers. And it's all about the experience of the actual game, the final version. But I will say that I played, I think, maybe 5 hours of the game total now, which is a lot. I mean, that's like 5 hours of playtime is a lot. Between all the demo events. And I'd say I probably played about like an hour of New Donk City and about an hour of the Sand Kingdom. And then very briefly, only about like, I don't know, like 5 minutes or so with the Seaside Kingdom. But that hour that I spent with New Donk City and Sand Kingdom, both at E3, I mean, has been doubled since then. Because I played both of those levels again for about an hour at the demo event yesterday.
Yeah.
So again, it's like 4.5 hours, 5 hours worth of time that I've spent on this game. And every time that I go back to these levels, the thing that I think is really interesting and the reason why I'm not upset is New Donk City, every single time I've opened it up and I've tried like looking for a new moon, I've found something different. Every single time without fail. The first demo event, I did the mission where you have to like get all the musicians together to create the big band. The second one, I played through part of the nighttime area where you're like a tank and you're battling that snake thing. The one I played yesterday, I jumped into like a rocket and I shot off into like a Mario Sunshine-esque level where you're jumping off of poles in the sky. And then even with the Sand Kingdom stuff, the first time I played through the Sand Kingdom, I was going through that 2D area and
capturing
hills and checking out the Moe statues. And this time around, I was like exploring the town in Toastarena and collecting coins and trying to figure out what's going on with the ice stuff. So every single time, like I said, I figured out something new. Yeah. And I still feel like even after playing it this much, when I get the final version, there's going to be stuff in those levels that I'm like, wow, I didn't experience this before. And they're being very smart about these demo events only showing off a couple levels. Like, I know at a demo event in Europe, they showed off, there was like the new snow level and the, I think the Seaside Kingdom, which I just got to play yesterday. And I'm glad that they didn't have both. Maybe they'll have it at that event I go to next week, but I'm actually genuinely happy they did not have both, because I don't want the rest of it spoiled. I think what I've played is enough to let me know this game is going to be amazing. And I'm just looking forward to the final version.
Here's the thing. And you said ask you questions. So I have this question. And I'm gonna be honest here. As a huge Mario fan, Mario is my favorite Nintendo franchise. I am not 100% sold on this. And here's why. I know that when I get the game, I'm probably gonna warm up to it. But this whole Mario in the real world like thing, it's just for some reason it's just not clicking with me.
What if it?
I can assuage your fear a little bit. The Mario in the real world theme is really, I mean, like, even though that's the overall theme of the game, like, oh, he's exploring these different areas, that really only holds true for New Donk City. And, like, you could argue that, yeah, the dinosaurs look like real dinosaurs and they're not, like, caricatures kind of like Yoshi. But those worlds are all still very cartoony. And I think when you play – I literally cannot talk about what I played yesterday beyond, like, a few minor things. But I will say that the world I played yesterday, I think you will love. It's like a beach area, and the weird little characters that you'll meet in that world are very akin to some of those bizarre – Mario enemies that I think you'd probably expect out of something like a Mario Land or even like one of the mainline games. So I'd say I understand totally where you're coming from, because that's where Josh was coming from too. But I'd say you'll be happy. Trust me, you'll be.
I guess that and see, I know that. Like, I know that it's going to be it's Nintendo. It's first party. I know I'm going to open it up. I'm going to love it. But there's this hesitancy on the front end of it, which I look at it and I'm like, it's just. Like, it's Mario, but it doesn't really look like Mario. And here's my worry with it is, yeah, it's gotten a perfect review in Edge magazine as of today. And there's tons of press about it and everything. But I'm just worried that people are going to look at it and go, that doesn't look like Mario. And either just like, maybe don't pass on it, but sleep on it a little bit, I guess. I don't know. I'm hoping that, and this is just me, and maybe it's because I'm a purist about this. Like, I'm hoping that when it's all said and done and you reveal all these kingdoms, that the Mushroom Kingdom is one of them.
I think it probably didn't that get leaked earlier. People were talking about that, like on Game Explain, that there's a Mushroom Kingdom level. I believe it. I would totally believe it.
Like, well, I'm fine with them all existing in this world. You know, I'm fine with that, but like, let's bring it back. Bring it back to.
So, even the level that I played yesterday, this I can talk about. It was filled with like classic Mario enemies. So like the Goombas and the Cheep Cheeps, even though it was like a new beach area and there were lots of new characters, like if you watch my demo video I posted on Game and Blog yesterday, you'll see these like new little snail creatures and there's like these little octopus things that feel like new Mario enemies, but at the same time, all the classic stuff is still totally there. Like the platforming that I think you expect. Like, and the characters you expect, like the Koopas and the Goombas and the Cheep Cheeps, they are all there. It's just compounded with this new content. And on the opposite side of the spectrum of you, Marty, like you said, you're like a Mario purist. You love like the old school kind of Mario stuff. And for me, that's why I've not been enjoying Mario recently. I feel like 3D World and, you know, the game that was on 3DS and, you know, Wii U, they all to me felt very samey. It was like, here's the ice world, here's the fire world, here's the water world or whatever. And it all felt like something that I'd played before, even if it was something entirely new. And I think of the recent ones, the best one to sort of do like weird things with it was probably 3D World with like the Mario Kart theme level. And they had like the cool Japanese level, like where you go through the screens and you had the cool like Japanese orchestrated music. But to me, this is almost like the best of both worlds, where they're going in a different direction. They're bringing you something that you haven't had before, which is like you mentioned, like the real world stuff, tying in like even lyrics in the opening song, but with all of those classic elements from the original. And I mean, Justin, you could attest to this too. You've played it.
Yeah.
It really does feel like a refreshing combination as opposed to something that's entirely new and also not something that's entirely derivative of everything that came before it.
You can definitely feel it. And this was my experience, Roger, we talk about this kind of new Nintendo is the word they use there. We talk about Splatoon, talk about ARMS, and the changing of the guard and the changing of direction that Nintendo has gone over the last 2 to 3 years. And I think this is a pinnacle point for it. And you can see that, right? You can see that this is new. These are probably some of the younger devs, some of the younger developers who are getting their hands on. They're giving a little bit more leeway. This is people who grew up probably playing Mario, who are now the developers of Mario and changing it into a new direction. And it's a very refreshing direction. And I think it goes back to a little bit of the commentary we had before, the staleness that we felt for Super Mario World. This is a wonderful game, or a refreshing take on it from my just 10 minutes of it. And that was one of the reasons why I almost got back in the queue to play again. I was like, no, I want this to be fresh for me, right? I don't want to ruin that experience. But I do think that this I think this has a lot of importance for Nintendo right now. I think when you look at how Breath of the Wild played, that was a refreshing take on Breath of the Wild. They've taken that same idea of like, let's kind of turn our heads on this a little bit, but still make it feel the same. And that's, I think, what we're seeing from Odyssey for sure, is take the concept, flip it. But also they always do a good job of still paying homage and the importance of where they came from. And to your point, you were talking about there, Roger, you know, that sand level is a great example. You go through a pipe, it's a 3D pipe, and all of a sudden now you are 2D Mario in level 1-2 in the original, right? So they've always done the really good touchbacks of like, hey, we know our origin, we know our roots, and let's touch into that. And I think they did a great job with this as well. So
it's interesting you bring that up too, because like that seems to be a theme among all gaming this year, mm-hmm. right? It's like this rebirth of classic franchises that you never really thought you were going to get a true sequel to. So like the true successor to Zelda, we got Breath mm-hmm. of the Wild, and it's doing something completely different while at the same time, like still including a lot of the elements that we loved about that original game. You've got Odyssey, which is like the refresh of Mario 64, and even something that's not Nintendo developed, but it's on a Nintendo system. And when we're talking about game of the year at the end of the year, I'm sure it's a name that's going to be thrown out there. Sonic Mania. I mean, Sonic Mania is that. It's this refresh of this classic Sonic that for years Sega's been trying to get back, you know, to what made Sonic great. And instead of throwing in some garbage friends or like giving him a human girlfriend, they realized the best thing to do is to go back to its roots, give it to people who, like you mentioned with the new Mario dev team, with the Sonic team, like with Christian Whitehead and everybody else who developed that, those are people who grew up playing Sonic 1, 2, and 3. They know what makes the series great, and yet they're including both throwbacks to the original and then also these refreshing spins on things that you would never expect in a Sonic game, like the Mean Bean Machine boss or like the Sky Chase level, the saloon, the press garden. Odyssey really feels like that. It feels like Odyssey, Breath of the Wild, and Mania are all sort of within the same theming of the year, which is like rebirth, refresh, whatever you want to call it. I would even
1991 over again.
Because Samus Returns is a retelling of Metroid 2. I would even go as far as to include that game in this. Yeah. And that's, again, of the same kind of caliber. It's one of those AAA games that unanimously, I feel like everybody's loved that title. Mm-hmm. And this feels like this is going to be one of those same types of games.
So let me ask you this then, Roger, and this is a kind of a bigger question for everybody else, I guess. Like, you know, what month are we in here? 7 months into the Nintendo Switch life cycle, and we have had Breath of the Wild, and we'll have a massive Mario title. Do we expect, or do you expect, that we're going to see in the life cycle of the Switch another, you know, I'm going to use the term Mario Odyssey 2, just as an example, right? Mm-hmm. Do we expect that we could potentially see another one in the life cycle of the Switch, or do we suspect that Nintendo may take a route similar to Breath of the Wild, where they implement a potential pass, a season pass, right? They seem where they could all of a sudden have new levels, new areas, new challenges. Nintendo seems to be leaning in a little bit more into those season passes. Obviously, Breath of the Wild, Rabbids is an example, right? Do you think we're in? And again, Odyssey is, you know, there's very much an open world exploration component of it, very similar to Breath of the Wild, right? What are your thoughts on this?
So I'm kind of mixed because we saw the map of the world in that one Japanese ad. And based on what we know about the game already and like what people are hearing, that it's about like 12 or something worlds, right? It's probably going to be about 12 worlds. And we have all these moons. That map looks really big. And so a lot of those areas we might not explore in the main game. And like you talked about, maybe they'll expand upon those in like a season pass a little bit later. Mm-hmm. But I also kind of feel like the Switch to me is going back to the Wii era, where it feels like Nintendo as a developer is taking risks and third parties are also willing to run those same risks and release things on that platform just due to the success of it. And considering the Wii got Galaxy 2, and a new Super Mario Brothers game, I have a feeling that we'll probably end up getting this as well as probably a new standalone new Super Mario Brothers type game, like a co-op type of Mario game. And instead of doing maybe a sequel to Odyssey, I think we might get another Mario Maker. So those would be the three pillars of Mario, with Mario Maker, the new 2D Mario, and then this being the new 3D. And maybe, like you were talking about with the season passes, they'll expand upon Odyssey and whatever that new 2D game will be with season passes, which I personally am fine with, because that, you know, you don't have to buy multiple games then. You buy a pass, you get extra content. They already had such a good game to begin with. That's such a good core game. You're already getting your money's worth, that if they want to develop new DLC to add on for $10, like, do it. Or even like in the case of a lot of their other games, look at Splatoon and ARMS. These games are getting full on DLC that is completely and entirely free. Yep. And I don't think they would do that with Mario. I think they'd probably go the same route as Zelda. But yeah, I really do feel like it could go either way, man.
Yeah. See, Roger, I love that idea, because I thought that one of Nintendo's biggest missed opportunities was adding new characters to Super Mario 3D World.
Yeah.
Because it was a huge deal that, you know, Rosalina popped in the end. And that changed, like, her ability changed the dynamic of the game. And I was thinking, how awesome would it be? Nintendo sells a $20 DLC that adds in another, you know, pack of levels and lets you play as Wario and Waluigi and Yoshi and another character. And it's like it never materialized.
Yeah.
And so if, like, you know, I would love it if a week before this game they did like Breath of the Wild and they said, you know what, here's the Super Mario Odyssey DLC pass. That's going to give you two more kingdoms and you can play as Peach or you can play as Luigi after you find him or something like that. I don't know.
Well, considering how important coins are to the gameplay of Odyssey now, where you use coins to buy new costumes and there's even like coins designated to each of the worlds, I'm thinking about what you were just talking about. And I love the idea of them maybe doing like Super Wario Odyssey as like the season pass. Where Wario goes around the world and basically just steals coins from all the different countries. And then maybe they add like one extra environment. But that would be really fun. I mean, it's been a while since Wario had his own game.
What would really be cool is if they did it where he couldn't capture anything and you had to figure out how to get the coins.
Yeah.
Like, because I mean, why would anybody work with Wario?
And he has like other abilities and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm super excited, and I've seen so many people who are online like counting down the amount of days till this thing is out. Like, this is I'm really super excited for this. I'm very actually almost concerned that they're going to drop a second patch to the Breath of the Wild DLC shortly after this, and that's conflicting for playtime.
I think I wouldn't be surprised if that one. What did they said winter for that, right? Like,
yeah, but the amiibo are coming on November 10th.
I'm gonna guess based on because I haven't seen that at any demo event. I have not seen that DLC. So my guess is that will probably be the last thing they drop this year after Xenoblade. I could see it being like a late December release.
Like even like either right before or right after Christmas, potentially even.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Like the 26th or something. Yeah.
Yeah. They usually it's like, oh, Christmas is over. Time to start hawking our new stuff. Right. Like it's almost like that. Like
that's help us clear our shelves.
Yeah, exactly.
Time for our Nintendo Direct.
Exactly, yeah. Right?
Cool.
So, yeah, see, Nintendo Directs usually happen in January, though. So it would have to happen before. Because usually there's like three or four of them per year, right? Normally four. There's normally one in January, the really big one. There's normally one around springtime. Then you've got the E3 one and then the big fall one. And then they usually repeat that cycle. Sometimes there's little specific ones for specific games. But normally the big four, as they are, like would happen quarter, at the beginning of each of the seasons. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking that it'd have to be out before that. It'd have to be out in like December And I'm guessing the next direct we get is like early January, which then teases maybe things that we've already heard about, like things like Kirby and Yoshi and more information on those titles, but maybe also teases what's to come at E3. Because this year, going back to what Justin was talking about, this is easily, in my opinion, the best first year for a Nintendo console ever. You've got arguably the best Zelda game of all time, arguably what looks to be one of the best Mario games of all time, a sequel to the highest acclaimed game that was on the Wii, which is Splatoon 2, which is a better game than the original Splatoon. You have a new franchise fighter with arms, which I still see a lot of people playing online. You've got the ultimate version of Mario Kart that was originally on Wii U, but now it's, again, been sort of given this new life on the Switch. All of the cool Neo Geo arcade archive stuff, plus some really solid indie titles like Fast RMX and Golf Story. I mean, so there's been so many games already. And if you look back at the original first year of the Wii U, I see people complaining about the first year of the Switch. Josh, talking about how it's all ports or whatever. And it's like, go back and look at the first year of Wii U, because there was a new Super Mario Brothers Wii U game, the announcement of a remake of Wind Waker before actually getting a real Zelda game, the announcement of Hyrule Warriors, which also, that's another thing we got. We got Fire Emblem Warriors on Switch already too. And then everything else that was on Wii U in the early days was a port of something that was already on PS3 that, to be honest, didn't run as well on the Wii U as it ran on the other systems. You had things like Mass Effect and Assassin's Creed and Batman. To be frank, I didn't care about those games when they were on Wii U, and I think the general consumer didn't either. And I think that's why the Switch is such a big success. It's harkening back to the days of the Wii, where you had these awesome first-party games like Twilight Princess, Wii Sports, even Excite Truck at the beginning of Wii was a lot of fun playing with the motion control. And then these weird, not quite indie titles, but indie-like titles from big third-party developers like Zack and Wiki and Elebits. And there was imagination there, and they were trying different things, both Nintendo and the third parties. And we're seeing that again with Switch. So, yeah, I feel like everything in terms of what we're going to get next year for the Switch, we should look at like what happened with the Wii. I think that should be our blueprint, and not what we've been experiencing with the past 4 years with Wii U.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's a crazy time, right? And you're talking about the numbers, right? I cannot wait to see the fiscals. I know it sounds odd, right? It sounds crazy, right? Let's show me the numbers, right? Jesse, never thought you'd hear me say that, but
I know that's normally my thing.
I'm really interested to see the fiscal report about attachment rates for how many Switches are sold. What is the attachment rate for Zelda still 102%? Yeah. Right. What's going to be the attachment rate for Odyssey? Right. I'm willing to bet you we're going to see a 90% attachment rate.
I think the last numbers I heard on Zelda was like down to like 75%.
Yeah, it could be. So it's still crazy. Right. And to your point, like this is year one.
That brings up a whole concern with next year, right?
Yes, and every year after that.
Yeah, it's like we started off so strong. Where do you go from here? Which then goes back to what you're talking about, like what is after this, right? Is it a season pass or is it like a new kind of Mario? And I feel like it has to be something new. It can't just be like a sequel game. I feel like if they're going the same track that the Wii did, it might be an iteration on the same engine, something like a Wii Sports Resort to a Wii Sports, where you have a lot of things that are the same type of mechanics, but are put into like a new type of environment. I mean, to be honest, I would not be surprised if the next Zelda game we get on this is like a remake of maybe Zelda 1 or Zelda 2 within the Breath of the Wild's like engine.
So let's go on that. Let's pump the brakes. Do you suspect we will see another Zelda on the Nintendo Switch?
Zelda, and I think we're going to get a Zelda Maker.
I think what Aonuma has said too, you know, is in some of his comments about the 2D Zeldas, and I think this is we got to move on soon here, but there's a lot of discussion about like as the 3DS kind of goes into the sunset, all of those teams that were working on 3DS games, all of a sudden you've got like that team that was responsible for things like A Link Between Worlds and Triforce Heroes, that all of a sudden that team moves over to the Switch, right? And so do we see some sort of new 2D Zelda? It's obvious that you're going to get something. I think if they don't have some sort of a Four Swords type game, I think they're crazy because of the local multiplayer of the Switch. And so we're going to see all of the stuff that is that has been done, all of those teams that have been working on the 3DS are going to move over to to the Switch as well. And we kind of are saying like, well, we don't know if Nintendo's going to release a new handheld or not, but I think we can deduce enough just simply by the fact that, like, no, all of those teams are moving to the Switch. Nintendo has said that enough times that I think that we can pretty much be confident that the Switch is Nintendo's future at this point.
Yeah.
And so all of those handheld games, you know, the teams that have been working on Fire Emblems and Zeldas and all that stuff.
Here's one thing that I'll say, Zach, though. The question was, where do you go from here, right? We need to prepare ourselves and kind of shore up a little bit and realize that eventually every console goes through a terrible season.
Sure.
Xbox went through it with the One. PlayStation's gone through it with the Four. Though I would say PlayStation has come through this last gen with PS4 smelling like a rose for the most of the time. I mean, it's almost like they could do no wrong. But Nintendo is going to hit a point at some point in time, and it may be 2018, where I don't know if you want to call it a drought or if you just want to call it there's a big AAA title or a big first-party title that doesn't hit the way it's supposed to, it's coming.
Sure.
Yeah. And there will be, I mean, because just really based on the fact that the Switch can't go up forever.
Can I make a prediction on
that? I
would
love for it to, but it can't.
Can I make a prediction on that?
Sure.
I'm going to predict that the first big hyped game that is going to be a disappointment is going to be the first outing of Pokemon on the Switch. Because there's so much hype behind that, and they need to nail it. So like to the end, that team in particular has shown what's the word I want to use? Complacency maybe, that I think could be dangerous for them. And
I actually build off that point because. That's interesting you mentioned that. I still hold the fact that I think the big holiday game next year is going to be Pokemon. And that really, if that is their big holiday game, and it's not something like a Mario Odyssey, and they're building upon like Breath of the Wild, if that game is disappointing in any shape of the word, considering the fact it's the first Pokemon game on a home console, I honestly kind of feel like that will sour the entire season.
Oh,
because
yeah.
If you look at the first half of the year, you've got Kirby and Yoshi, but like, as much as I like those franchises, they are kind of like B tier for Nintendo.
Yeah.
And I also feel like even though they announced it at E3, I 100% do not expect Metroid Prime 4 next year. No, I think that is a 2019 title. I think all they have right now is the logo. I really don't think that's a 2018 game. So the one big thing that the two big franchises I'm looking at right now that they could potentially come out swinging with next year are the only real two other franchises we don't know about, which is Smash Brothers and Animal Crossing.
Donkey Kong.
Big question. Donkey Kong. But I think that's a whole other – Donkey Kong and retro is a whole other realm. I think that's like something else they're working on. I think if you look at like the big sell, the really big sellers, it's Smash and Animal Crossing. And Smash Brothers, we're past a point now where I think we're getting a port. I think if we were going to get a port, that would have been announced at that World Championships. And so I'm thinking maybe – we're going to get a new Smash, which then leaves us with another year on Switch without Smash. And then Animal Crossing, I mean, obviously, I will be very happy. I'm a huge fan of that franchise, one of my all-time favorite Nintendo franchises. But I don't think like a summer release of an Animal Crossing, maybe it'll do well for sales, as would Pokemon. But I think in terms of like drawing out the hype from the hardcore, it might not hit the same demographic. Mm-hmm. And that might be something we need to sort of brace.
Here's the question, though, about Pokemon on the Switch. At this point, since people have anticipated a home console Pokemon for so many years, can any team live up to the hype? I don't think so.
I don't know.
I really don't. I mean, I think it's going to be – the first one is going to be mostly good, but with – but we wanted this because the hype is so huge. Like, I mean – We talk all the time about the Nintendo hype train. This is a whole nother engine. This is a whole nother stop at the station.
Also,
even though it sounds bold, I still think it's probably a good prediction from both of your guys' end. Because if you look at the past couple generations of Pokemon. There was the first one on the system that did well enough, but didn't really have the same – it hit the same like level of quality and the same nostalgia factor that the second game in that system's library hit. So like take, for example, Diamond and Pearl and Platinum, right? People love those games, but almost everybody unanimously agrees Black, White, and Black and White 2 are better games than the Diamond and Pearl generation. And 3DS, I would also argue, is exactly the same way. X and Y, we got X and Y, and we enjoyed it when we first played it. But after Sun and Moon last year, it's like, wow, I'm never going to go back and play X and Y. And then I know a lot of people within the hardcore Pokemon community that really don't care for X and Y all that much.
But we got a guy in the chat right now that's saying X and Y were the worst generation.
Right, so there you go. Maybe the first generation on Switch, as you mentioned, will be the disappointing one, and it's going to take the next few years after that for them to really get used to the hardware and then eventually release whatever that next generation 8, I guess, by that point
will be. I'm just hoping they just don't try to overthink things. All they need to do is just make a good Pokemon game. Doesn't matter if you're trying to use any – you don't need to use any fancy features. Just make a good game that would work well on a 3DS, but just up-res it. Upscale it and make it good.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we've got other stuff. We are already over an hour into the show, and we are on the second news story. Actually, the first
it's 150. It's fine. You guys can talk.
Yeah. We'll go for 150 minutes.
Yeah. So that's awesome. So, and that's coming soon, right? Mario is coming soon, which is exciting. Yes.
2 weeks Friday. Friday.
Exactly. So that's awesome. Our other big story, and we have a question about the Game Boy Classic Edition that we're going to talk about in emails. So let's just talk finally. Our other big story of the week was the Nintendo World Championships, which I actually forgot was going on until like I jumped in the Discord chat. Like, anybody watching this? I was like, oh crap, that's going on right now. And so I jumped over to YouTube. And was where I watch it. And I jumped in actually around the Splatoon 2. They were playing Splatoon 2 when I jumped on there. So, it was, who else here watched this? Did you guys watch this?
I watched most of it. I had to go in and out because I had to drop kids off at work or whatnot. But, I didn't watch it.
It was midnight here for me, so no, I went to bed.
Okay.
I streamed a 4-hour live reaction on my YouTube channel of the entire.
So I think, you know, I kind of checked out some other reactions to this. I honestly feel like it is such they've really landed on the formula, you know, that I think is great. I would just say let's have it be a little bit shorter.
Four hours is long.
I feel like 3 hours would have been perfect. 4 hours, I was like, all right, like that's like I'm getting a little tired of this here. But I think that the format was awesome. Like, I love the concept of how they nailed on that underground stage. You know, like those were always, I feel like those were the highlights when I was watching it. Was a lot of that underground stuff and a lot of the when they bring out the more retro games. I thought that was awesome. So we do have I've got a quick list here of all the different games they had that they showed off. And by the way, there were no announcements other than there was an ARMS 3.2 update trailer that had like an evil version of Spring Man in it, which I was like,
all right. Coil Boy. That's my name for him.
Coil Boy.
I love it. Very awesome. So we had Breath of the Wild. We had Smash Brothers, Metroid Samus Returns. Then the underground stage, they had Balloon Fight. And then they went back to stage two, Smash Brothers again. And my favorite game, it's funny because I saw a whole bunch of people who were like, I've never even heard of this game. And I was like, as soon as I saw it on here, Bird and Beans, I was like, I kid you not, I have had Bird and Beans on my 3DS since I bought it. It is actually one of my, like, old school, like, one of my favorite, like, score attack type games. And I've played it forever. It was originally a WarioWare game, but like I actually pulled it up here so that I could prove it to you. Like Bird and
Beans. There it is.
They released it over DSiWare, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And so like very early eShop days, it was a game that I downloaded and was like, oh, hey, this looks kind of cool. It's a couple bucks or whatever. I think you can still get it on the eShop too.
I think they made a sequel to that, Zach, called Chicken Wiggle.
No. Bird and Beans is one of my favorites. It's super fun. So
yeah, I heard a lot of people say that they'd never heard it before, and even the show made a in their splash screen of what the next game was, they even said in the parentheses something like, "Yeah, you didn't see this one coming."
Yeah, which is I think that's
I have
amazing.
Heard of the game, but I've never actually played it.
Yeah,
I was going to mention really quickly too, Jesse, is because you were talking about like other games that happened in the beginning of the show, and before all of that, remember Reggie came out and said, "I'm hard at work yet," and then they blurred his
voice. Oh, that's
voice.
Right, yeah.
Well, this has been discovered by my friends over at Source Gaming. For 100% fact, I know what Reggie said. 100% fact. Ooh. If you go back, and you can actually clearly see this if you go back and watch the video, if you just stare at his lips and you have this in mind, you can see
I'm always just staring at his lips.
Yeah. He's specifically saying, I forgot what the statement was, but he says, "And I'm hard at work at game that you will be reading my lips to find out the title of." Because people were like, "Is he saying Smash? What is it?" And it's very clear. Source Gaming has the exact quote up on their Twitter account, so go check that out. But they have the clip, and it's very clearly that is what he's saying. He's saying,
"Oh, that's amazing.
Game that you're going to try to read my lips to figure out what I'm
he's
saying."
He's just trolling.
Yeah, he's totally trolling.
Oh, he totally is.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's awesome. That's so good. Which is exactly, like, I would expect nothing less, you know?
No.
Trinan
and Reggie are known to be trolls.
Oh, yeah. Which, by the way, if you want to play Bird and Beans on the DS on the eShop right now, it is $1.99. So you're
but, like,
welcome.
This would have been a great example of and I was just on the My Nintendo Rewards section a couple moments ago. FYI, they have just put out some new themes for you Animal Crossing fans. There is a new fall theme on the My Nintendo Rewards. But
and a new Mario and new Zelda fall theme as well.
Yeah. This would have been a great example of like, hey, this is now available on your My Nintendo Rewards. Cash in your coin. You get it for free. Do you know what I mean? Like, that feels like something they could have made some connective tissue on. Yeah. I don't know.
It's not like they would have made any revenue on it if they didn't have it in this thing anyway. So,
Yeah. Did you say so? Like, did you just shoosh him? Okay, good. I like it.
I don't know.
Sorry, I was just asking. Did you shoosh him? Is that what you just did?
Who shooshed who?
You. Did you?
Did you shoosh you?
Not intentionally?
Oh, okay. If it was me? Maybe it was just cutting out. That's fine. That's okay. You're allowed to shoosh him if you want. That's fine. It's fair game. I do it all the time. Okay, so Bird and Beans, one of my favorites. Then they went continued on Mario Kart 8 and Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Then they went to Donkey Kong Country Returns, which is garbage. Just kidding, Justin.
That was, I think, tied with Samus Returns as the best portion of the entire event.
I saw that some of that.
Minecart Chase, I was on the edge of my seat, like, who is actually going to get through this? That was an excellent choice.
Yeah, that was good. Then they had Splatoon 2, which one of my pieces of criticism, I think, for Splatoon 2 specifically was there is an option in Splatoon 2 to lock the colors, right?
And, oh, yeah.
Right? Because it became very confusing watching them. Like, oh, well, last time they were the green team, but this time they're the purple team. You know, like, you can go into the options in that game and lock the colors so they never change. They probably could have done that for the live stream. It would have made it easier to follow, but that was cool. And then Tetris, which Game Explain has a video of sort of a lot of the crowd reactions, and Tetris got like just huge sort of excitement and reaction from the audience. ARMS, of course, and then Mario Party 2 when they went back to the underground and they had some of the mini games there, which was cool to see. I've seen a lot of sort of mixed reactions and anticipation about that new Mario Party game coming to 3DS. Roger, how do you feel about that? Just like in two like one sentence or less.
Absolute utter trash.
Really? Period. Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Because it's just a mini game collection and not actual Mario Party?
It's on 3DS. That's ludicrous. Of all the games to put on 3DS, I'm totally cool with them putting Metroid on 3DS because it added like the depth of field, and I mean, it's gorgeous. Like Samus Returns is gorgeous in 3D and feels tailor-made for that system. But party games, despite download player and whatever Nintendo wants to tell you, should not be on 3DS. That absolutely should have been on Switch. And to be honest, I don't even really like Mario Party. So this is coming from somebody who doesn't even like Mario Party that much. I feel like I would have been more inclined to play it if it was on Switch, and now I am 100% never playing that game, and it's going to just rot in the sales bins because no one's going to pick it up. Because by the time that game comes out, whenever they said it's like February of next year or something, or when did they say it's coming? I mean, no one's going to be thinking about it. No one's going to care. And yeah. I honestly think that was a huge missed opportunity.
I think it comes out earlier than that. Yeah. I'm bringing up my notes.
Yeah.
I think it's like somebody month. Who's
an enormous Nintendo fan. So if I'm saying that.
Yeah.
It's actually available the 10th of November.
Yeah. November 10.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I'm buying it.
You are?
I love Mario Party.
I feel like.
And here's the deal. Like, honestly, that is a game that I can get and play with my kids. And that's why I want it.
Yeah.
Because that's all my kids want to do anyway when we buy a Mario Party game. They don't care about the stages. They don't care about the Bowser mode or anything like that. Mario Party 10 wore thin so quick anyway with that. They just want, like, my son's just like, let's just play mini games. Let's just play mini games. So this is going to be right up his alley. Now, do I think they need to price it like every other 3DS game? No. They need to price it at, $20 value title.
Mm. Yeah.
But I'm still going to buy it anyway.
Yeah.
Because it will get played at my house.
Mm-hmm.
For that reason. I mean, we like Mario Party.
I do hope, like Mario Party, hopefully they go back to their roots when it comes to the Switch. That's all I have to say. Get back to
all they need to do is make it where you don't all ride together in some stupid buggy or cart or train or fish or whatever.
Yeah. Basically take some of the, and I don't even mind if it's like a remix sort, like if it was the top 100 plus a board game mode on the Switch, sweet. Like, that's awesome.
Well, actually, what they could do that would really make me happy is take the Mario Party franchise and take the Amiibo Festival spinoff of Animal Crossing and nuke them all together and make a new Fortune Street. That'd be great.
Nice. All right. So then finally, we've got the finals. We had Super Mario Maker was the game one, and which what's his name from last time? John Numbers.
Numbers.
John Numbers, who was the 2015 champion. He won that one, which was crazy to watch, by the way. Like, it was insane. Like, the precision that man has in that game was crazy to watch.
That was like this one long distance duck jump that he made on his first try, and one of the people from the treehouse that was helping to commentate, who helped make that course, said, of all the playtesters we've had work on play this, no one's ever done that on first try.
Yeah. He seemed disappointed almost. like how easily John Numbers just destroyed that Super Mario Maker level. It was crazy. And so then they went into the Super Mario Brothers Deluxe multiplayer game, which I
didn't even know this thing.
I didn't even know it existed, and I was like, this is amazing. I want them to port this. I know that there's a lot of issues with that game in particular, and how it doesn't fit the whole level on the screen. But I want them to take that game mode. It looked so fun that I want them to just make a new mode of that.
Weird story about that mode, actually, and this ties right into the Nintendo Dad's theming, is I have a very distinct memory of my dad taking me and my friend Hugh to go to a baseball game. We went to a White Sox game, and we were driving from the south suburbs up to Comiskey Park, which is now U.S. Cellular Field in Chicago. And the entire car ride up, me and Hugh both had our Game Boy Colors and actually played this mode for like the whole ride. It's like 45 minutes. And I have a very distinct memory of this mode. So seeing it during the event, I even mentioned this during my live reaction. I was hit with the biggest nostalgia bomb of all time.
That's awesome.
Something I never thought I was ever going to see again.
That's so I was cool. I was explaining this mode to my son, who I did show him some video of it, and he goes, ew. I was explaining the concept, and he looked at me like, well, I don't understand why this is such a rare thing and so few people would know about it. And I said, well, in order to have experienced this, you would have had to have two Game Boy Colors, two copies of the game, and a link cable. And he had to think back to remember what a link cable even was. And he goes, oh, right, one of those things.
Yeah, that's awesome. So it was, it was so funny. So
I remember having this game, but I never played that mode, and I never, to be honest with you, I never really played this game that much because the whole level doesn't fit on the screen thing was such an annoyance to me that I couldn't play it.
Yeah. So anyway, so Thomas G wins that one, and then in the final, of course, was there ever any doubt that Super Mario Odyssey was going to be the final game? And the underdog, the challenger, Thomas G comes back and wins it. So I
almost didn't want to watch it because I didn't want to have anything spoiled, but I'll watch it anyway.
I kind of felt the same way where I was like, I don't want to see all this stuff. I want to see it first time when I play it, but I watched it.
And then when I saw that boss, the first thing I thought of was, oh, they went into that well again.
Yeah.
Gandross, cool. the head of the tower in Wind Waker.
Yeah.
The boss in Wario Land.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I was definitely getting Andross vibes from that for sure. So very cool. So overall, we're like, how often do we want to see them do this? Like, what do you guys think? Like, is this something we want to see every year? How do we feel?
I like every other year.
I think every other year is a good pace if they want to keep this up. And just
yeah. Yeah, I agree.
But here's the thing. Like, I think that if they're going to call it the Nintendo World Championships,
it needs to be World.
It's time to open it up, and it's time to, like, there should be the honestly, I would not mind watching it if it was one North American champion and include people from Canada and Mexico. Yeah, one North American champion, one South American.
They can't get over the wall.
One European champion, one African, you know, all the continents.
Yeah.
Surely even somebody on, you know, Antarctica plays video games, right?
Yeah.
Someone at one of the science stations where they're studying penguins is sitting there with his DS going, I could be a world champion.
Just one day I want to get off the Scythe Island.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, I mean, like, open it up for that so that it's more fitting of the world title.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right, guys, we got to get into what we've been playing, and let's get on with it. All right, that one's for you, Tim. Of course, what we've been playing. Let's get into just a few things. I think there's one game in particular that if you picked it up, it sucked your life away. At least that's what happened to me. But before we get into that, Roger, we talked a lot about Mario. You had a couple more games that you wanted to talk about real quick.
Just a couple minutes. I got a review copy of Layton's Mystery Journey from the team over at Level 5. I have played all of 1 hour of it, so I do not feel qualified to give my judgment. I will come back and give that a little bit later. And I also got a review copy of One Piece Unlimited World Red for Nintendo Switch. Obviously, I do One Piece reviews on my YouTube channel, and so like I was very excited to find out there's a One Piece adventure game on the Switch. But for that, the majority of my playtime, which is about 4 or 5 hours so far, has been spent in the Colosseum mode, which is sort of like a fighting game side mode and not really the adventure mode. Because I kind of want to save the adventure mode for like a let's play for my channel. So that's all I really have. It feels like a fun arcade-y kind of beat 'em up fighting game mode. If you're a fan of One Piece, I'd say pick it up. If anime is not your thing, maybe steer clear. And then the other big game I've been playing, which is actually not a Nintendo game, but it sure as hell feels like a Nintendo game, is Cuphead. And for the past week, Cuphead, I have it on PC. I've been playing with a PS4 controller. I know it sounds sacrilegious, but that's how I've been doing it. And it has been absolutely consuming my life. Everything that I love about Nintendo, from like the quirky character designs to the amazing soundtrack, is all there. Very much feels like a Nintendo game. This is a new developer that's created this. This is the first ever game they've created. I cannot wait to see what they're going to work on next. I am thoroughly impressed with everything about that title, from the difficulty to the level environments, the character designs. It's brilliant. And I highly advise anybody who is a Nintendo exclusive gamer to, at the very least, try to play this on their PC. Download Cuphead. You will not be disappointed. The music is out of this world.
How as far as like the requirements for a PC, I have a Surface Pro 4. How good do the graphics need to be? I'll say like I play Overwatch on the lowest settings.
If you can play Overwatch, you can play this.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean it's only I think a 5-hour game, 4-hour, 5-hour. There's three worlds and then a finale world, which I'm in right now, and each of those worlds have their own boss encounters, and depending on your skill level, you will either spend a ton of time in those worlds, or maybe you'll breeze through some of the early bosses, and so your playtime will really vary depending on how good you are. I am not good at platformers, nor am I good at side-scrolling shooters beyond Metroid, so for me it's been very difficult, but I've still found it very enjoyable. So.
Yeah, we had some good friends of the show, Sean Capri and Dave Moore, on their podcast, The Xbox Drive, were mentioning this one recently. Now, the commentary from Dave is that he finds it tough as nails.
Oh, yeah.
Is that your experience as well, yes. Or is Dave just sucky?
No, I think it is tough as nails. I mean, even if you're playing on the simple mode, which is to not actually – you can't even complete the game on simple. It's really only a way to like learn how to beat the bosses so you can eventually get the soul contracts from the bosses. It is tough as nails. I mean, even the very first boss I encountered was like a garden with a potato, an onion, and a carrot. And if you're not prepared to dodge things, it's a very simple boss once you know the techniques of the game. But when you're learning the dash mechanic and the EX moves, it's pretty unforgiving. And there's even like, I think, a little difficulty spike in that first world with a casino boss. There's like these two little frogs that turn into a slot machine. And that boss gave me a lot of trouble. I think I was on that one boss for like 45 minutes. And mind you, that was in the first world of the game.
Wow. So, that's insane.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Right on, man. Very cool.
In the chat, there's a question for Roger. Did you know in Cuphead there's an athletic theme reference from Super Mario World in one of the Cuphead songs?
Weirdly enough, I did know that because somebody tweeted me that and I heard the music clip. Where you hear like the what's the athletic thing? I'm trying to think of it off the top of my head.
That's just the World 1-1.
Yeah, World
1-1. Yeah. They have a little clip of it in one of the – I don't know if it's like a bonus song on the soundtrack. I didn't hear it in-game. But there is definitely a Cuphead reference. But on the topic of Mario and Cuphead, one other really quick thing is I noticed this because Etika was streaming his playthrough of Cuphead. And I was watching this while playing myself, sort of like seeing and enjoying his frustration and stuff that I had a really hard time with. And at the time, that was right after I got back from the Mario event yesterday, where they released the Mario Odyssey trailer, where they had like the, you know, that cool live action musical trailer for Mario Odyssey.
I actually haven't watched that yet. I'm avoiding all trailers. Amazing. So.
And the song that plays during that frog casino boss encounter in Cuphead overlays over the Mario Odyssey commercial almost flawlessly. And it's pretty funny just because of they both obviously have a very similar aesthetic, like 20s, 30s jazzy type of orchestrated soundtrack, but they really do layer over really well. And I tweeted out my version of like the commercial with the Cuphead music, and it's almost to a T. So check that out if you haven't already.
Right on. Yeah, I'm avoiding all of the trailers, but does it even have stuff for the game?
No, it's a live action.
Not very much.
Oh, it's all live action. Okay. I'll have to go check that out. Right on.
It has a few little scenes from the game, but it's nothing you haven't seen before.
The stuff they've been in the directs and stuff. Hey.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Well, right on, man. Marty, you have signed your soul. I don't know if you're nearly as bad as I am. See,
how many hours in are you?
I am in the fall. So.
Oh, no. No, I'm still in the spring.
Okay.
But here's the thing.
So this is Stardew Valley.
You know how,
like,
when you are this only illustration I could come up with this, and it may be as good as your illustration from earlier about whatever. I forget what it is now, but it didn't work.
For which? For signing your soul over or what?
No, when you were I forget what it was. Let's just move on.
Okay.
when you're approaching a jacuzzi for the first time, you know, and you're like, you're going to dip your toe into the water to test if it's not too hot.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I've been doing with Stardew, because like, I know that when I get into it, just like a jacuzzi, I'm going to want to stay there until I just shrivel up and die.
Yeah.
Because it's so good. And so I noticed earlier today I had put about 4 hours into it since buying it. And it's just because there's all these other games that are juggling and competing for my time and other stuff going on. But I sank about 3 hours into it today without any thought at all.
Yeah.
And it's a game, like we were talking about this before we started recording. Is it good? I think good is a relative term for this game because it is so much of a build your own game type of thing. You know, if you want to go mine, go mine. If you want to just cook, you know, you just want to grow vegetables, grow vegetables. If you want to complete the quests, complete the quest. Sure. You know, because you can level up and you can unlock new crafting recipes and stuff without completing the quest, and delving into the story. You know, you want to have a romance with someone. Sure. Great. You can do that too. You could just fish all day, or you can, so there's all these different ways that you can play it, and there's all, and like it, correct me if I'm wrong, that you could choose like 5 different biomes or whatever in the beginning. Like you can go in the snow or the sand or the, you know, in the water where everything's islands, but isn't everything in that, like in, under each of those categories, isn't it a random seed as well?
No. So I like, cause my son started the game and he got the exact same sort of layout that I did. I think it randomly populates where the trees and stuff like that are within your farm, but it's they are sort of like specific maps. So
here's the thing I love about this game is it's a perfect game that I can go and dive into for a little bit and feel no pressure to get to the next castle or get to the next plot point or anything. If I want to chop down trees, I'll just chop down trees. And then I'll make it through a few days and I'll turn it off, you know, and I'll have made progress. And it makes me kind of feel good about that. And like to answer a question I probably feel is coming, how close is this to Animal Crossing? It's pretty dang close.
I would say it's actually closer to something like
it's Harvest Moon.
Well, I would say, right? I would say like it almost feels like Minecraft sometimes, like especially with the mining stuff.
It's like Animal Crossing and Minecraft had a baby, and that baby was wonderful.
Yeah. 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 It's I don't know if this is true or not, but I think my time log may say like over 10 hours this week, I want to say.
Wow.
I would need to double check that, but that's pretty, you know, I've been playing it quite a bit. I have. And the thing is, you know, kind of like what you were saying, Marty, like you can kind of, there's not a lot of pressure, but at the same time, there's a lot of incentive to keep you going. Like, oh, I just
planted. That's a good point.
I planted these seeds and they are 4 days, you know, 4 days, and I can go and harvest these parsnips. Right. And it's like, okay, well, I'll just play for 4 days then. And then, but as soon as you do that and you get the stuff, it's like, oh, but now look at this. Now I got all this money. I can go buy like 3 times as many seeds now, and now like very quickly this happened in the summer for me, where I was so you know, basically there's a ton of different things you can do in this game. You can plant your farm, you can go mining, and it kind of encourages you to just specifically because of the resources that you need in order to continue upgrading, it encourages you need to go mining in order to get some of the resources to get the equipment for your farm, right? Stuff like that.
Sure. Yeah.
And so like I, at the end of spring and once summer started, I was like, okay, like I've got a bunch of money here. I'm going to go and buy like a ton of seeds. And I made this huge plot of land, and I literally was like borderline exhausted every day before I was done watering my plants. And I was like, okay, this can't happen. I can't do this ever again. But
I mean, you definitely have to, there's a balance that there that you need to look for between farming and if you want to work with animals or if you want to mine. But the thing that kind of gets me about this game is it looks, and maybe this is just me because of the way that I play video games, but like it looks, you know, nice and fluffy and cute on the outside, like the graphics and the sound and everything. But there's this like just this dread every time that I play it, like this creeping dread in my life that like I'm doing something wrong. I'm doing something wrong that's going to screw me over in the fall. I'm doing something wrong that I'm never going to recover from, and I'm going to have to go through multiple years of this game to finally be profitable. And I don't, you know, I don't play Contra and think about how it's going to be 3 years from now. That's and like I've never played Harvest Moon at all.
Me neither.
And I know that that kind of Harvest Moon players are kind of used to that. Am I doing this right?
Well, and like some of the very first things that I saw when I was like, okay, I'm going to get into this. I'm going to, you know, give it everything I have and really understand it. And you know, one of the first things that I found was just for like tips for beginners in Harvest Moon was like, just to understand that you will never know everything about this game, and that's okay. That's why there are wikis. And I'm like, oh, okay. It's one of those games.
Yeah, like the box right next to your house that I thought was the storage bin that I was putting my stuff in every day. I did that for like 4 days.
Oh.
And I just thought that you, like, at the end of each day when you went to sleep, that it showed was like, here's your tally from today, and you made this money. No, that's where you mail stuff off to sell it. Did they tell you that? Nope. There's like one line of dialogue that Mayer's like, put your stuff in that box if you want to sell it. And then he walks off.
Yeah. And Marty just pressed A through that all the way through. And
no, I didn't. No, I wasn't like just, you know, spamming the A button to get through. It's there's so much going on at the beginning of that game.
Yeah. And you have no idea what you're doing.
No, no.
Yeah, exactly. That's
so can I ask a question? Have you upgraded any of your weapons?
Yes, I've upgraded
or your tools.
I've upgraded most of them. I guess weapons you actually can't upgrade. You have to just buy or find new ones. But
okay, then Sensei, teach me, how in the world do I make money in this game? Because I just now got enough money to buy the 24, you know, thing.
The 24, the backpack, the inventory,
the backpack that lets you have 24 spots in your inventory. But I'm 19 days into spring.
Is that enough for you to plant potatoes? That I think potatoes were.
I planted some potatoes and I harvested them and I sent them off and got a good bit of money. But I think where I messed up was I planted beans.
Oh, okay.
And I'm still waiting on those beans. And like I spent like $600 on beans.
Yeah.
Tune in later this month when we do a spinoff show on Stardew Valley.
Stardew Dads.
Yeah. I would say there's a lot of stuff in there. What you want to do is pick something early on. Like there are some things that are more profitable than others for sure. What I did, I just started the fall, and you get cranberries, and they have a fairly short. The word that came to my mind was gestational time, but you know you get the idea. Yeah, and those make pretty decent money. I would honestly say like go and look up some it is one of those kind of games where it's like so min-maxy and strategy, and there's so much strategy in it. Like figure out what are the most profitable, because there are so many people online that have done that math. And usually I think for spring it's strawberries, for summer it's blueberries, stuff like that. So yeah, it's pretty, it is crazy the amount of stuff in this game. The mining is something else that is, you know, as you get deeper and deeper into the mines, it gets scarier. And like, if you die in the mines, then the homeless guy in town, like, oh, I found you in the mine. By the way, seems like somebody stole some of your money. I don't know anything about that. And then he like runs off. And I'm like, dude, you totally mugged me while I was dead in the mine.
So that homeless guy, I had a cutscene with him. I don't know if you've had this yet, where he was rifling through the trash.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this guy in a wheelchair thought he was a raccoon.
Yeah.
And he's like, so what did you, you know, what are you going to do? And it's like, I'll just let you go because you're the crazy homeless guy who lives in a tent up by the mines.
Yeah.
Down by the river.
Yeah. It's a really good game, and it's a lot of fun. The writing in this game, like there's a lot of heart to it too. Like, the one thing that I really haven't gotten into hardly at all is all the relationship stuff. I feel like ain't nobody got time for that right now. I am a young
terrible at them.
I'm a young entrepreneur.
I've been trying.
Yeah.
And it's like, go give them a gift to make them like you. Well, every time I give anybody in this stupid town a gift, they're like, like I gave this one of the girls a gift. Like it was a gem that I'd mined, you know, or something. I was like, she'll love this. And she was like, some people have different tastes, I guess.
You got to do what you do in Harvest Moon, which is where you go to the local library or whatever, and you give a bottle of wine to the librarian, and then you marry her and have kids. That's what you got to do.
Well, here's the thing. It says, like, the little quest thing. It's like, find out their individual likes and dislikes. Well, it doesn't tell you that anywhere.
Yeah, you got to go make friends. And nobody got time to make friends.
Man. It's the wiki. There is actually –
go to the wiki.
On the wiki, it actually says, these are the things you give to this person. So – nice. So that's Stardew Valley. There, I have a feeling like this is a kind of game that I could play a lot, and like I'm going to be playing it for a long time. There are people who, which by the way, if I'm like 10 hours in and I'm not even done the first year yet, there are people when I was watching some YouTube videos this week who are like, yeah, this is year 38. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Oh man.
So,
hey, somebody in the Discord chat said they'd put 232 hours into that game on Steam.
Ooh. Yeah.
Wow.
Have mercy.
Yeah. So that's sort of, I guess the last big game that I want to talk about, I am allowed to talk about it a little bit, is we got a review copy from Nintendo of Fire Emblem Warriors. And, there are a lot of people who, I think my worry is that a lot of people are going to sleep on this because it's so close to Odyssey and it's going to get lost in the shuffle. But if you liked Hyrule Warriors, I feel like this, other than the fact that this is a Fire Emblem game, like Fire Emblem franchise instead of Zelda, this game is an improvement on Hyrule Warriors in just about every way. Honestly, like and if you played the 3DS version of the game of Hyrule Warriors, you'll know that they added some really great functionality where you could choose sort of multiple characters within a single map and you could swap between them in real time. There's a ton of really awesome, sort of new mechanics in this where they took that idea where you could swap between different characters within a level. And they just crank that up even further, where when you are beginning a map now in this game, like especially as I'm getting it, and I can't talk a whole lot about sort of late game stuff, but as you ramp up in the game, you basically, as you're preparing, you know, very similar to Fire Emblem, where at the beginning, and I think even Hyrule Warriors did this a little bit, where you would choose your character and where you would place them within the certain spots on the map and things like that. I am currently selecting four primary controllable characters and four support characters in every level. So I am selecting a total of eight characters per level that I'm kind of managing all at once. And there's an awesome pair up mechanic similar to in Fire Emblem, where, you know, there's two that are kind of two characters can occupy a single space. And so you pair up with a character. So if, for example, I'm playing as Crom and, you guys still there? Did I?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, we're still here.
Okay. So I just lost a little bit there. So you pair up. So if, for example, I'm playing as Crom and then Cordelia is hanging out with me as well. And I'm like, all right, you two pair up and we're going to build relationships between you two. And that kind of, so there is a relationship mechanic there. You unlock relationship scenes if you get your characters to a high enough relationship. There, it's not every single like relationship ranking, like C, B, A, and then A plus or F. There's no marriages here, but there is some support conversations that you can unlock and then go and review in all the in like the settings as well. Like there's a lot of that sort of the gallery sort of, you know, view your model and view, you know, the different things about the character, right? You can unlock a lot of that by upgrading your character, by forming relationships with people. So basically if you're paired up with somebody, you can either summon them as a very quick attack every once in a while, like they'll kind of have their own meter the support character will have their own meter where it'll build up, and then you can trigger it to break a block or something like that, and their stun meter will show up. You know, that's one way that they work. Also, if that is filled up all the way and you trigger your super ability, I can't remember what they call it, where you push A, right, and it triggers the whole big cinematic attack thing. If you do that while your support character is charged up all the way, then it will do a team attack, and both of them will attack at the same time, and it's this really cool sort of... It looks awesome, right? Like, that's the one thing with this game is that compared... And Nintendo Life has a video on their YouTube channel that they just put up comparing Hyrule Warriors on Wii U to Fire Emblem Warriors on Switch, and visually, it never really registered to me, but visually, Fire Emblem Warriors is so much better. Like, it looks really? So much cleaner, and there's a lot more going on. At least that's kind of what I've kind of seen. As far as even just sort of the character animations, the cutscenes are way better. It's all fully voice acted, whereas before it was pretty, you know, it was all just and you know, that sort of stuff, which is, I mean, it's true to the Zelda franchise, obviously, but now that we're also on the other side of Breath of the Wild now too, and so that Hyrule Warriors sort of cinematic style, the cutscenes feel a little bit more dated than they would have before Breath of the Wild. So I really, really like it so far, and this is not a full review, it's sort of a preview, but I'm really so far just I'm encouraging people to not sleep on this. And so next week I'm going to be able to really go full and finish my actually give a full review of the game. I'm not quite done it yet, but it's a really good time, and I encourage everybody to keep an eye on it and don't sleep on it. So I don't know if you guys have any questions or
two questions. Yeah, I have two.
Sure.
One is, the music orchestrated or no?
The music, actually, you know, Hyrule Warriors, I had sort of a soft spot for the music because it was like Zelda butt rock, and that's kind of what they're doing. It's a little bit more cinematic or more orchestrated, but it definitely still has that Fire Emblem butt rock sort of feel, but not quite as egregious as Hyrule Warriors was.
And then my second question is Camilla still best waifu?
Oh my gosh, Camilla.
Now, I waited for Camilla to be confirmed for the game, and as soon as I saw her, I'm like, yep, this is a must buy.
What's the Jello Physics game? On the Japanese one.
Stefan Kagura?
Yeah. They must have consulted with those guys on her boob physics. Because she, and they don't even try and make it subtle. And that's one of the things, is that this is very like, it's pretty ridiculous. What's the gay character's name in Fire Emblem Fates? The eye patch.
Oh, Niles.
This is a criticism almost. Like, I would even classify this as a criticism. Yeah. Their characterization of him is, it's constant gay jokes. Like,
wait, hold on, time out. Niles is in this?
Okay, he's in the cutscenes. So he's not a playable character, but he's in the cutscenes. No, he's not playable, but he's in the cutscenes.
Okay. But I thought you just broke some news. Wait a minute, hold on, Niles.
He's in the cutscenes. So, got it. And maybe I broke an embargo with that. I don't know, maybe not.
No, I probably didn't. You're
fine. So anyway, but he's constant gay jokes, which I'm like, okay, guys. Like, I'm pretty sure he actually made a comment like, I'm going to attack from the rear at one point. And I was like, wait a minute, this is not okay. Anyway, so there's the dialogue is very anime, and like very the two main characters in this are kind of the new characters that are specifically for this game, similar to what they did with, what was her name, Lana in Hyrule Warriors.
Lana? From Hyrule Warriors. Yeah,
these two are like brother and sister lords in this one, and their characters are they're like the very naive, heroic, you know, sort of wide-eyed, optimistic sort of heroes that are very stereotypical, I would say. But there is, it's still really fun. Like, it's a fun time, and I would encourage people not to don't ignore it. If you liked Hyrule Warriors, I think you'll really, really like this. And playing this in handheld mode, man, it's hard to put down. Like, it's really fun. So, yeah. Any other questions or anything?
Time to trade in some games.
Yeah. Right on. Very cool. All right. We have a ton of... Oh, geez.
We're gonna do 2 minutes rapid fires on those four. I think at least the four. The SNES Classic we can talk about later.
Yeah, I guess for the SNES Classic, all I will say is that it is. I got one. I found somebody who was on Facebook, like one of those local buy and sells. They were like, "I will trade an NES Classic for a SNES Classic straight across." And I was like, "SNES Classic has two controllers. NES controller has one, and I'm done with this NES. Peace out." And so now I have a SNES Classic instead.
Nice.
And for reasons that are not endorsed by this podcast, I was able to play Chrono Trigger on that. And I have never played Chrono Trigger before, and I'm like really, really liking Chrono Trigger. So
I want to make a recommendation to go along with the SNES Classic, or the Super Nintendo Classic.
Sure.
As refined people call it, the 8-bit Do controllers, or the 8-bit Do controller, the one that's out that is NES themed, that has the retro receiver that it connects to. They just updated the firmware for that about a week ago. It was actually they tweeted it out the Sunday after release of the SNES Classic, and now that controller works super. Super with the SNES, and like you said, Chrono Trigger and others are a joy to play.
Yeah.
You kind of know what you're gonna get when you get in with the classics now, I guess. But I've just been surprised with the game selection, I guess. Yeah. I did not realize how much I loved the SNES library over the NES library. Cause I mean, nostalgia, right?
Yep.
But the SNES was really the game system that took me through my teenage years. So I guess I have a lot of respect and a soft spot for it. And man, Super Metroid, is so good. But let me say this, Super Metroid, is also super slow after playing Samus Returns.
It
has really taken some of the heart out. I mean, I still love the game. You put your pitchforks and torches away, but like I would love to see, like I see now why so many people are saying we'd love to see Super Metroid redone in the style of Samus Returns or Fusion even.
Yeah right on. All right, so was that 2 minutes? We're good.
Yeah, you get your 2 minutes. Yeah.
All right, so next up, Yono and the Celestial Elephants. Oh, I guess I would say one other good reason to get into one potential motivation that we do not endorse for hacking your SNES Classic is that you can set a button shortcut. So now if I hold down L, down, and select, it takes me back to the menu without having to get off my butt to go and hit the reset button. So
yeah, that's the best part.
Yep. That is by far the best thing about it. So, and really that is enough motivation itself, but also we don't endorse that. So
those 8-bit Do controllers do that automatically.
Oh, do they? Nice.
Without a mod.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Or I guess a classic controller has a home button too, right? So all that.
Yeah.
All that.
Jazz. Yeah. Anything that would have a home button on it.
Of course, I got to say, it sounds mighty appealing, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
The SNES Classic lineup, like, it already is really good, but like the two big exclusions to me were Donkey Kong Country 2 and Chrono Trigger, and yep. So I may or may not be looking into this.
Yeah. So there you go. And it's super easy is the thing. That's the thing that's almost so scary. Easy. It's so easy, it's scary. So Marty, I think, is it you who's doing Yono and the Celestial Elephants?
Yeah, Yono and the Celestial Elephant. I did not know what to expect with this game other than OMG, it's cute. And I've spent about 2 to 3 hours with it, just being in full disclosure, enough to get through what I feel like is the early part of the story. And there's not really like, you know, when they showed this off during the Nintendo Direct, the Indie Direct, there wasn't really an expectation of what this would be, other than it's a cute elephant, you know, running through some mazes or dungeons. This is most definitely a kid's game.
Oh, okay.
All right. It is most definitely a game for kids. And the reason for that is that there's, and I hate to say this, it's fun, but there's, it's not super fun.
Like, is it like because it's easy?
The other day, it's super easy. Like, okay. I fought this thing called a Rob Goblin the other day. Rob Goblin, because they like to rob you, and they're goblins. And it was like swinging at me, but I was just headbutting it over and over, and it didn't do any damage. I've yet to die in this game, and I've also upgraded the elephant to have two more heart containers, if that's what you want to call it, or energy bars. And the story is that elephants aren't in the world, but so every now and then an elephant comes along to save the world. And And so you meet up with this girl who is leading you toward the royal city, and you meet a little kid who's a monk who's been sent out from his cloister, and he's the typical messes everything up. But then he finds the celestial elephant and all this stuff. The best part about this is it has some very nice English translations and other things in it that just don't make sense. And so it's, as a grammar nerd, I like to pick those out. I think this game is $20 on the eShop. Can somebody check that real quick and be sure that I'm.
Yep.
Yeah,
I'll check it for you right now, Marty.
It's if it is $20, if it's $19.99, I'm hard pressed to recommend it.
$14.99.
Okay, that softens the blow a little bit. I think this is one that is fun to would be fun to like walk through with your kids. You know, if they're not as adept at some other games, because there are some logic puzzles and different things like that. The biggest head scratcher / thing I have against it is it does not support the Pro Controller.
Ugh.
At all.
How does that work?
I booted it up.
Apparently.
Well, I booted it up using the Pro Controller, and immediately the controller would not connect anymore. So you have to get the Joy-Cons and put them in the grip or play with them in, you know, lay back on the couch mode.
Well, luckily, I will probably play this before the Pro Controller that I'm going to use above all other controllers comes out, which is that gorgeous Xenoblade Chronicles 2 Pro Controller. I have not purposely picked up a Pro Controller because I'm waiting for that one. Nice. I think it's so cool looking. Yeah.
So my recommendation on this game, just to kind of wrap it up, would be if you have small children, then they'll probably love it. And the graphics are actually really good. And the elephants are cute, and there's several other elements in there that are great, but it's not. Sorry about that. I had to sneeze. It's not one that I can like really confidently recommend for, you know, longtime gamers or anything like that. Cool. So.
Right on. Very cool. All right. Astro Bears Party. Who had that one?
That would be me. All right, as well. So how many of you guys love Snake?
Sure. Yeah. I love Snake.
You know, the old Snake game on your phone. Okay. So Astro lot, Bears yeah. Party.
Back when I had to program it in BASIC on the Apple II.
Astro Bears Party is basically a 3D version of Snake with bears wearing spacesuits.
Wow.
Okay.
And that's awfully specific. What it is. There's four game? Characters. Each one has a little different stats, you know, that affect like their turning or and they can do some different things. Like you're on this like almost transparent globe, and you can kind of see other people. And as your bear runs, there's a trail that comes out, you know, in your color behind him. Mm-hmm. And if you run into your trail or you run into somebody else's trail, you're out for the round. So rounds go really quick. And there you can jump and like jetpack, like you can hover in the air, and that puts your line up in the air. So there's a little bit of strategy to it. There's also a dash button that, you know, sends you forward very quickly. I'm going to be completely and transparently honest with you guys. The first time I played it, I hated it. And I just did not get why this game existed. But that's because I was playing it single player.
Okay.
My kids begged to play it. And so the four of us, me and my two kids and my wife, sat down and played it. And it was so much fun.
Really?
Like, it was like, we were screaming at the TV and at each other because, like, you're on this little globe and there's four bears and those trails never disappear. So, like, if you're, you know, if you survive for even 30 seconds, you have created a jungle gym to navigate through.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it can become very challenging, like, to the point where there's nowhere else to go and there's inevitable death waiting for you. And the way the rounds work, if you win, you get 4 points. If you're out second, you get 2 points. And then I think it's like 4-2-2-1, you know, or maybe it's 4-2-1-0. I can't remember. But the first person to 40 points wins. That's literally, there's no other game modes in this game. Okay. And maybe they'll update it or whatever. But I think for like party gaming, it's pretty good. But I can't see much of a use for it past that. Like, it's
right.
The single player version of it is run around on this globe and pick up these little rockets, you know, and you have to pick up so many and then the round's over. And that's
and for those of you that are interested, this is in the eShop. It is for $5.99.
Yeah.
And that's in the US eShop as well.
And here's the thing, like for $5.99 for a game that can, you know, you can play couch co-op because that's what it is. I think it's great for $6. I think that one's a very appropriately priced game. I'm not going to play it single player, but am I going to take it over to a friend's house and force them to play a couple rounds and hope that they like it? Yeah. Them. Well, I mean, you know, it's kind of like when you're introducing a new game to somebody like Astro Duel Deluxe. I had to force that on people. They're like, it's just Asteroids. I'm like, no. You really need to try this. You're really going to like it. And then 3 hours later, when we're yelling at the TV and at each other, they get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that's one of these, like, do I think I'm going to play it as much as I do Astro Duel or Jackbox? Probably not, but it's good to have another alternative in the tank. You know, if you don't want to do the space shooting game and you don't want to play quiz games, then we can run around as bears and play Snake.
Yeah.
Cool.
that quote out of context is, I'm just going to leave it. Right on. Very cool. Astro Bears Party. Dress up as bears and play Snake. All right. Lovers in a Dangerous Space Time is next up. Justin, you had that one, right?
Yep. Yes, this is me. So thank you very much to the and actually to the developers who sent Marty those review codes as well. Thank you for the early access. And I've had Lovers in a Dangerous Space Time for a couple weeks now, actually. And this is done by Asteroid Base. Now, this can be found on the Nintendo eShop for $14.99. And I would highly, highly recommend this game for family couch co-op fun. And this is a little bit of kind of like Marty's, I think, explanation of Asteroid Jump. So you are – it has an amazing cutesy childlike art style. It's very simplistic. But you are a team who are in a spaceship, and you have to save these kind of rabbits in space who are being trapped, and you need to go rescue them. And you can do this in one player. There's a one player option, but there are several positions in your spaceship, and there's like the tactical, there's the navigation, there is the, you know, map.
There's a shield.
There's a shield. There's a shield, right? And you kind of have to jump around to various other spots to ward off bad guys and to fly your ship. And this is, you can do it in single player. And when you do it in single player, kind of give it a little robot AI that assists you, and you're able to quickly tell them what you need to do. But the beauty of this game is when it comes down to you and someone else playing. Because much like games like Overcooked or Snipper Clips or probably Astro Bears Party, it is the couch co-op craziness of, okay, now you go do this and I need you to do this. So me and my daughter were playing it recently, and I was like, okay, I need you to be on the top turret shooting, and I'll fly us over here, and okay, then I'll run down here and I'll move the shield. Okay, but you need to now shoot that other guy, so you need to go down two stories into the different turret. And it is chaos fun, and it is so much fun. I cannot recommend this game enough. It is up to four players. So, I mean, you can sit down with the Joy-Cons and break them off, and you're having a great time. The art style is very approachable. It looks like it was like a Saturday morning cartoon. It's funny. At one point you kind of go, you're warping. You basically do this like light field jump, essentially, like from Star Trek or Battlestar Galactica. And it's like a giant red heart is what happens. Oh, and you kind of fly into it, and it opens up, and you go. And then there's this other like warp drive you have to open. You have to shoot the switches. And when you shoot them, rainbows kind of fly over and connect to be the warp jump. So for my daughters who are 7 and 9, this is like perfect art style and perfect level of humor. And I've so loved playing Lovers in a Dangerous Space Time. It is just it's just fantastic. It's just fun. It feels like comfort food fun for couch co-op. So I would highly recommend it. Pick it up, $14.99 in the eShop. I know it's available on other systems as well. I think it came out on PlayStation last year.
But that's where I had it.
This feels like a natural fit for the Switch. I mean, you know, couch co-op feels like a natural fit. So check that one out. And the final game that I've been playing as well, and again, thanks to the developers for this one as well, is Tiny Barbarian DX. And this comes out of the Nintendo Switch. Actually, just came out on October 10th. This is up to two players. This is from Nicholas is the publisher, and Starquill is the game's dev team. And so this game reminds me of 8-bit Super Ghouls and Ghosts. And it is very difficult. You are playing kind of as a Conan, as a barbarian who is kind of adventuring through this 8-bit. 8-bit is the character design, but the background is in 16-bit, which is kind of a cool look to it. And you're kind of just like, you know, I'm a barbarian. I'm a bro dude, and I'm gonna just fight everything I can. And you're kind of making your way through this quest and there is platforming precisions that you have to do with it. You know, almost sometimes pixel precisions. It can become very difficult at times to get through it. But it has that kind of like one more gotcha, one more moment. And the other kind of funny part, there's this moment early on that all of a sudden you find like this cat, this lion that basically you jump on a ride. And at a moment I was like, is this essentially 8-bit He-Man? So it had that feeling, but they have this horde mode that basically it's just survival. But it's very action based. It's a great 2D platformer, and it's got hack and slash components of it with obviously this really cool retro art style. And it's really, really quite cool. Actually, I've been enjoying it a lot. So I'd recommend checking that one out. Now, I know you can actually, much like they did for Cave Story, you can get a physical copy of it as well. And Nicholas has included physical items as well. I think there's like sticker pack or stickers, and I think there's like keychains, and there's some. So I have seen some pictures of people who picked up the physical version of it, but it is digital as well. And I don't know if the pricing is different. Like I said, this is $29. No, it's not.
I think it's $30 on the eShop, at $30. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's $40.
Yeah, it's $29.99 on the eShop. So this, and here's the thing. I think this is a bit challenging. I think the price may be a bit high on this on the digital side of it. I think when you think of all the other games that you've got out there, Stardew Valley, you've got Golf Story, you've got SteamWorld Dig, who are competing for that dollars, that feels a little bit high potentially. I think it's really good. I definitely recommend playing it, definitely recommend picking it up. But this may be one that you may want to put on your wish list and maybe look for like when it's on sale possibly. Or if you really like those kind of physical things, pick it up and get those kind of physical prizes with it. But it's definitely game.
I'm sorry, the physical copy is $29.99 as well.
Okay. Yeah. So there you go. Yeah. So I would say, like, you know, if you're looking for an additional swag or something, this might not be bad to stop down by your local game store and pick it up at that price. But definitely a very cool game, very enjoyable, having a lot of fun with it. And I'd say add it to your wish list as something to keep an eye out for, maybe when you have some extra dollars, because this should definitely be thrown your way.
Cool. Right on, man. That's awesome. Okay, well, gentlemen, we are 2 hours and 8 minutes in at this point.
Now, sorry, I just want to say one thing before here, Zach, just before I know we're going to move off here. I do want to kind of keep on the docket for people to be aware of other games that we are playing that is upcoming, because we did put out some posts about it. We did receive a copy of Unbox Newbie's Adventure. We're going to have a conversation about that next week, and same with Rogue Trooper Redux. We have got a copy of that. So we'll have conversations. So I know there's a lot of, and I guess it goes back, there's a lot of games hitting the eShop. I mean, you know, last week it was 18 games, I think, right? There's a lot going on.
It's been
there's
like two weeks in a row of that.
Yeah. There's a lot competing for your dollars, folks. We are developers being kind enough to provide us review copies. So if you are kind of a people who like to listen to our opinion, we do have games in the docket that we are reviewing. So before you pull a trigger on a game, if you want to wait for us, or even just reach out to us and say like, hey, are you guys going to be reviewing this or getting impressions on it? Let us know. So yeah, just to give a heads up that we have got a couple things in the shoot. So, you know, if you're questioning it and you want to wait for our opinion, we're kind of giving you a heads up.
Yeah, right on, man. Very cool. Okay, so here's my suggestion is that we bump this Game Boy Classic. We spend a week this question about the Game Boy Classic. I think we spend a week of introspection and come to this next week that we can really give it everything that we can on that.
Sure.
Talking about what games we would, and you guys as well, send us your input on what games would you, if there is a Game Boy Classic edition coming, what would you want that to look like, and what games would you put on it?
I'd like it to look like a Game Boy.
Yes, but which Game Boy? And that is important. So all of those things we'll talk about next week. But for now, I'm going to find a where's the thing here? A bumper.
Wobble Puffet?
Right.
Wobble Puffet? Wobble Buffet?
There we go. That's our community spotlight, of course. Roger, as we round out the show here, we want to spend a little bit of time here providing you with an opportunity to talk about what you've been doing online. I think if people don't know who you are, then what are they doing? What have you been doing online, man? Like, where? Tell the fine people about who you are, what you do, and you know, just spend a few minutes talking about all the any exciting sure. stuff that you've got to point people to.
Sure. So I am a YouTuber who focuses mainly on video games, mostly Nintendo and anime. So I do weekly reviews of a series called One Piece, as well as reviews and live reactions to any real big Nintendo news or Nintendo games. So I've got a Mario Odyssey Let's Play coming up soon. I have a live streamed playthrough of Earthbound coming up soon as well on my main channel, which is Rogers Base, Rogers Base. You can find me on YouTube, on Instagram, and on Twitter, and also on my secondary YouTube channel, Game and Vlog, where I focus on providing you guys with like gameplay videos of things that I've been playing recently, and also vlogs from cool gaming type events. So I was just at the Mario Odyssey tour. You can see a full vlog of that. I have an unboxing video for the SNES Classic that was up last month. That's up there as well. I will be doing an unboxing video for Mario Odyssey. Like I said, a Let's Play of Mario Odyssey. And yeah, just a lot of really cool Nintendo stuff coming on the pipeline. So thanks for having me, as always, you guys. It's always a pleasure. And congratulations once again on 150th episode of the show. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Thanks very much for joining us. Yeah, it's great.
Of course.
Right on. All right. Well, as we kind of wrap out the show here, anyways.
It's late.
Wow. Yeah, I went there. As we wrap up the show here, Justin, what do we got going on in the next little bit here?
So the big thing I want to draw people's attention to is the Extra Life marathon that we'll be doing for 2017. That will be occurring November 4th is when the official date is. But if you can't make the November 4th, you're like, oh, man, I would love to, but I can't. That's OK. You get to actually choose what day. That's what's holding you back. Shh, don't. We got you covered. All right. So as I know, Marty, you're not doing it on November 4th. You're doing it a different day, right?
Yeah, I'll be doing my stream on November 9th over into the 10th.
Yes, exactly. So if you were like, hey, I can't because of that, hey, don't worry. We got you covered. But we do have a team. We have an Extra Life team. And guys, here's the call that I'm making to you. And if you want to lean really close to your microphones, you want to lean into your speakers to hear these magical words, here's what I'm saying to you. I want for us to destroy the Mega Dads team and the Nintendo Guru team and Sean Capri's team. I can't. Yeah. We won last year, folks. We cannot lose this year. We are the reigning champions of Extra Life Podcast. We need to take the belt, continue the belt that we have here. It is polished. I look at it every day. I'm like, you are a sexy belt. We're a sexy belt for Extra Life.
You know,
so guys, I am calling you and I'm asking you to join the Nintendo Dads team. And you're like, how do I do that? Great question. Let me tell you how you do that. You go to Extra Life right now, extralife.org. Please let it be .org and not .com. And I just sent you somewhere else. And you type in Nintendo Dads, okay? Or Nintendo Dads. Someone type it in. Check for me.
Extralife.org.
Extralife.org.
Wow, it's really
search teams Nintendo Dads. You will find us.
It is totally not extralife.org.
Oh no,
it is. What is it? It's like the
cat. I think there's a hyphen in there. Extra hyphen.
It's extra-life.org.
That's why these three are here. I can make a promo video, but I can't apparently search the internet at all. But here's what we want you. We want you to join our team. We have goals that we want to meet this year. We have a couple people already on the team. And the objective, I mean, you know, regardless of me saying that we want to beat the Mega Dads, Nintendo Guru, all those other chumps, this is all for a good cause. And it's all about raising money for local children's charities, local children's hospitals, to ensure that those kids have the funding that they need for some of these amazing surgeries. And this is a very important event for us. Obviously, we're parents, we're connected to our children, both biologically and because we like them. But we want your support as much as possible.
Listen,
you could join us.
I love beating chumps for charity.
You know, yeah. And I know as this time of year comes around, you know, it's a really important thing. You know, you only have one donation, right? You only have one donation to give. And so give it where it counts. Give it where it is, where it will be the most effectively, you know, who is the number one indie Nintendo podcast on the internet right now? It's probably... Yeah.
We are sponsored by, we have an approval rating from Mr. Rogers Base. Why would you not come to us?
Yeah,
exactly.
And he approves this message. So,
yeah.
So
in all fairness, that is a big thing. We're going to put on our Facebook page the link to, I'm going to go there right now, actually, so you can join our team. You're going to see us put up more links for Twitter, but please, guys, do consider joining. You're going to hear a lot more information about it as it leads up to it. Big event for us, and we want your participation. You can be, even if you're like, but I'm not a Patreon person, I don't care. Join our team.
Yep.
It's all about being on teams, raising funds, creating community that is supporting children. Okay.
Absolutely. And of course, reminder as well. Oh gosh. We've got Retro Rewind coming up. And you should be playing Metroid Prime and all those things. So that is, and huge thanks. Go over to patreon.com/NintendoDads if you want to support the show. Roger, as
executive producers again.
Oh yeah, we got executive producers right on. Why don't you read those off for me there, Justin?
I have got Dave, Sheldon, and John.
Yeah, huge thanks to our Patreon producers. You guys are amazing, and you make magic happen. So huge thanks to you, Roger. Once again, let everybody know where they can find you.
Yes, you can find me at Rogers Base on ROGERSBASE on YouTube, on Twitter, on Twitch, and on Instagram, and also at Game and Vlog on YouTube, where I provide you guys with gameplay of both Nintendo games and they're really fun games as well. So thanks again for having me on.
Right on. Thanks man.
Brother.
It's awesome having you on. Of course, if you guys at home want to follow us on all of the social medias, you can do so on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Nintendo Dads. If you want to email us, you can do so nintendodads@gmail.com. If you want to watch videos, you can go to YouTube or Twitch, mostly YouTube. We don't really use Twitch too much, but YouTube, look for Nintendo Dads. You will find us there. Just search for us. If you want to call in and leave us a voicemail, you can do so at 929-25-NDADS. That's 929-256-3237. And also, if you want to email us MP3 clips, we had a question about that this week. Totally fine. Just, you know, record a little sound clip, email it to us. Totally cool. Of course, huge thanks to OC Remix for our music throughout the show, as well as to both Carter Johnson and Adam Leonard for our artwork. You guys are amazing. And if you want to change the world, which I know is deep in your heart, go over to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. Written reviews are the best of the best. And just share the Nintendo Dad's love with all of your friends. Don't be selfish. They need it in their lives as much as you need it in yours. So change the world and share it with a friend. And, of course, if you want to subscribe to the show, you can do so on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, your podcatcher of choice, and, of course, VGTribune.com. For me, for Justin, for Jesse, for Marty, and for Roger, here's to another 150. We'll see you next time.
Woo!
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Nintendo Dads.
Wobble Puffet, Wobble Buffet.
So is that like 150 episodes? We did a 150-minute episode.